Everybody here knows that most of them I don't know, and a few that I do know. And Be'ezrat Hashem, after this schmooze, I'll get to know all of you. I want to give a few very simple, practical aids. I'm going to talk very simple, and I'm going to make first a little apology in the beginning. I didn't say it's not smooth. I'm 28 years in Eretz Yisrael. I got there 2 days before the previous Birkas HaChamas, so we're exactly almost 28 years exactly. And I forgot my English. What can I do? I was brought up in Chicago, and then I used to know how to talk, at least the way street language, what they say. I even forgot that. So once in a while, I'll try to find the word, and I hope that I might switch once in a while for a few words in Hebrew. I figure most people will understand. And I'm sorry, I apologize on that. I just... 28 years did it. I want to give a system that every single person in this room, no matter what your IQ is, no matter what your brain power is, no matter what, it makes irrelevant what your past history was, or that you had a rough childhood, or unless you're like, you know, you're in a child prison, whatever. But even then, a way that every person within 10 years, whoever's interested, could become a Baki B'Shas. He could actually know all of Shas. Simple as that. Which means he'll be able to run different ideas. Certain people think that knowing Shas means that if you read him a certain two, three lines, he could tell you Daf and Omid. So that means to know Shas. Well, you'll be able to do that also. But just to let you know, that's the easiest part. People are very, very impressed. It's like a magician's trick. You pull out a hat, you get a bunny out of it. It's a simple magician's trick to do that. People are extremely impressed. That you'll for sure get. That's when you buy a pair of shoes in a store, you get a little balloon with it. Well, that's the little balloon. That's not the shoes. It's much more than that. That you'll be able to use your idea of Shas in order that when someone will ask you a shaila or someone will ask you a kasha, you'll be able to use the yesoyas and the principles of yedias and all of shas to start proving things at different shaylas and different chakiras and the different kashas, and you'll just be able to utilize it like you own it. That's what I'm talking about. That's a much harder level, but even there, we'll definitely will be able to get within 10 years to, in order that you'll be able to have a kinyan on shas. Now, all I'm going to do is, I did not come with any papers in front of me. I do not come prepared. I'm sach hakol going to say over what worked for me and worked for the few people who are willing to hear me and actually try it out. And it worked. The system works. And I will soon say that I was brought up in a day school. I was brought up in Chicago. I didn't go to yeshiva. The first time I stepped in yeshiva, I was 16 and a half years old when I went to Chaim Berlin. And this was the first time. Before that, I was busy playing basketball, and even when I was 17 years old, for 6 months, I was learning Taekwondo. And I have a blue belt in there, so don't tell about me. But in Kolze, Baruch Hashem, when I became 20 years old, I got married, and 2 months later, Mifan Lashas started. Then the place of the Rebbe opened up Mifan Lashas, whoever is familiar with, and I joined in. And the first test I took was on the first part of Misach Shabbos, 18 blot in Sach HaKol. I had a whole month to do that. I spent maybe 12 hours a day. I was a pretty good masmid, especially in those days. And after I came home from the test, I fell on the couch. I couldn't stand up. And I'm telling you, it was the hardest thing I ever did in my life. And I used to, like I said, I used to practice karate 6 hours a day. Seriously. And it was harder to do one Mifal HaShas test on 18 daf was harder than doing all those, well, I'm sure you know. There's like, you know, jumping sidekicks and all these things. It's much easier than taking a test on 18 daf. But today, it's very easy. I don't mean even today. A year later, it became so much easier. 2 years later, 3 years later, 4 years later, because something major was done. After a year and a half of doing Mifal HaShas test, I went to my Rebbe Mufik, Rebbe Zalman Achenya Goldberg, Rebbe Shlomo Zalman Orbach's son-in-law. And I went over to him 25 years ago, and I asked him, what do we do about this thing that's called Shichicha? You forget. You learn, you invest so much time in learning, so much energies. You put everything you have. You went to Mivata, give up so many things, and you forget. 5 years later, you look back, it's like a swing. You know, a swing goes back and forth and back and forth, but in the end, you're in the same place where you started from. And it is it drives people crazy. How can it be? So I'm learning now Gittin, and I know it's going to happen. Next year, we're learning Bo Mitzi in the yeshiva. And, but Gittin, I'll forget. And in 5 years from now, or in 8 years, when the cycle goes back to Gittin, Gemo Chadash, it's like all new. I got to start all from scratch. People who go to Avu Subonim on Moitzi Shabbos or whatever it is, and they see their fathers learning with their children. So the son learns with his father, Elu Mitzias. And you sometimes wonder who's teaching who. You have this fifth grader teaching his father Elu Mitzias. Wait a second, you were once a fifth grader. You knew Elu Mitzias, but they went to Avu Subonim in those days that you would have been learning with your father, maybe. But you learned it, and then you learned it again in Yeshiva, and you learned it again in Koilel. And maybe even learning that for Yoimis, why is your son teaching it to you? Because you forgot it. And that's what happens. We learn and we learn and we learn and we forget everything we learn. And it drives a person crazy. People get to a certain age of 30, 35 years old, and all of a sudden they're in total despair. You are shim. That you know from Elu Mitzias, right? Yeah. Right? They don't know what to do. It's a Yeush Midas. They're going crazy. They think they're losing their mind. What do we do? I'm 35 years old and I know nothing. And what do we do? So then you start telling them, listen, there's a whole thing, and telling them, listen, I can't, you know, I have 7 kids to support, I gotta do this, I can't leave quite a bit. So your whole life is doing it. The person will be 70 years old, 80 years old, 90 years old, 120, and then I'm Amoritz. I don't know. I think to go through this world and be an Amoritz is the most saddest thing that could be. I have pity also on these Gvirin, you know, they're so wealthy, they think there were envy of them, but they don't know we're not, because if they're Amarasim, unless they're Tamnich HaChomim. Money is worthless. We don't live here forever. Olam Hazeh is a poison to get to Olam Haba, and you got to come there as a Tamei Tochen. And it could be done. It could be done. There's this guy in Washington, D.C. called Barack Obama. He has this motto, yes, we can. I just want to tell you, way before Barack Obama was a senator, I have it on cassettes that I said that motto, and I said, yes, you can. Yes, you can. I don't say we. Maybe it's more, you know, politically correct to say yes, we can. But it's yes, you can. Yes, every single one of you, you become a Bucky Shas within 10 years. And I'm letting you know in advance, I'm not going to ask from you from right now to do the following. You don't have to from now on stop eating or drinking. I don't mean alcohol. And you could live your regular, normal lives. You just continue whatever you're doing. You just want to change a few little things. And that's what we're going to discuss now. It's going to be no major change. It's going to be a change in perspective, and it's going to be a few practical changes. Some of them might be a little difficult in the beginning, but everything is difficult in the beginning until you get used to it. Driving from New Jersey to here, I won't tell you how many mistakes I made on the way. I'm embarrassed. I mean, I even had a GPS, and I made all the mistakes. It was unbelievable. You know, turn right, and I turned left. Yeah. It happens. Every time something is new, mistakes happen. Sometimes you can't believe it. How can I be so stupid? And make these, they happen. But within a couple of months, there will be a major, drastic change in your whole learning. That I'm willing to guarantee, 100%, I'm willing to take any bet with anybody in this room right now, that in 1 year from today, if they will do what I say, that's a condition, their learning will change more than 100%. In other words, they will double their amount of learning of what they're doing today. I will probably say that it will be more than double, but I want to be careful because I want to win a lot of money here. So we're going to take it as 100% double. You could double your learning within 1 year from today. You could actually do even more. And I will tell you a short story. There was a kid, a 12-year-old kid, which I was learning with this style of learning. He was doing Mifal Lashas test. When I was doing Mifal Lashas, I was learning with this 12-year-old kid. And in Mifal Lashas, you have a 30 vlad every month. And I saw him an hour a day, Sahakor. But there was a whole system. I even trained children in a certain elementary school how to do that. 12-year-old kids. And, I'll say just a bit longer of a suggestion. I was learning with a kid, a 12-year-old kid, who was very, very bright. Instead of going in the afternoon to the kids, 8th grade, whatever they were learning, in Omid every week, so he came to me and learned with me an hour a day, and we used to do 30 blad a month for Toisvis instead of an Omid a week in Marashi, and he used to take Mifal Lashas test. That's a fact. And I can tell you his name, and you could check it out for this information. He was 12 years old at the time, but he was very smart and very high intelligence. When he went up to Yeshiva Tano, Misifta was his fault here, I took another kid and did the same thing with him. And when he went up to Yeshiva Tano, the principal of that school asked me, how do you do it? And I told him, I wanted to take kids, and I will train them how to do it. So he told me, you want only the bright ones. And I said, no. Being bright has nothing to do with achieving high level in learning. You need one thing to achieve high level in learning, and that's good midot, midot tovot. A person who has midot tovot can get very far, and a person who doesn't won't get anywhere. That's all you need, good midos. That's it. What's the connection between the two things? Well, you could say maybe a little, you know, satir shmai type of thing, but even down to earth, it's much simpler than that. Because if I'll come and I'll tell you, you'll present me something, I'll come and I'll tell you, no, you have to change this and do azoy and azoy, so you'll start arguing with me. Why, Mepatom, how do you know that? Oh boy, now we're going to waste our whole time now on a stupid argument. I mean, give me a break. I mean, that's what you do also with the physics professor. There comes the doctor, and you go to a doctor, and the doctor comes and says, right, check your thought, and you have this and this, take this medicine. You start arguing with them? No, because you walked in there, and you took one thing in consideration is that he probably knows more than you. That's why you went to him. Well, that's why you have to have good meetings. Otherwise, we'll get nowhere. Simple good meetings that you're willing to change. You're willing to do things differently. You don't think you're the smartest person in the world. And then we could get things done. So then we took 12 kids like that. Within 5 months, we got 5 of those 12 kids. We started Tetzayin Adar. That was Chodesh Elul. That's 6 months. Within 6 months, we got 5 out of 12 kids were in that class. 45 minutes a day, I sat with them. Sachako, they joined me for Lashon Study from a month. So if 12-year-old kids could do that, I think all of you can do that. Sachako. It could be done. And that's what we're going to try to see, how we could develop it here. Now, I just wanted to add the one thing, that I was learning with the Stream of Falasha, study that from a month, and in the fourth month, there's always a chazoa, a 90. So it was that 90 was a test on Tzokhin, from Daf, or I don't remember, and from Daf Beis at Daf Tzadi, or from Daf Lamed to the end of the Masechta. It was 90 Dafim in Tzokhin, who was Chodesh Nissen, was Ben Azmanim already, and he was a short case, he stood on the table, and I was chazing with him the whole 90 block, which I will show you how to do that, and every single one of you will be doing that. And he was doing it together with me. I was asking him questions, and he was answering me back. We went through the 90 Dafim in 3 hours. And then I asked him the following question. Tell me, if I'd have told you 1 year, I'm talking about a 12-year-old kid, 12 years old means before Bar Mitzvah. I asked him a simple question. Tell me, if I would have asked you a year ago, the following, do you think in a year from now you could go through 90 Dafim Gmarashi Tosis in 1 day? What would you have told me? Well, if I'll ask any of you right now, can any of you go imagine this idea of going through 90 Dafim in 1 day Gmarashi Tosis? And people say, no. So I asked the boy, well, you just see it happen now. You see it happen 1 year later. I am telling you right now, every single one of you, 1 year from now, Mesechus Gittin is exactly 90 Dafim, will be able to chaz all Mesechus Gittin in 1 day, Gemara Rashi Tosef. That means, what do you mean chaz? Word for word? No. You'll be able to chaz, you'll be able to say over the major Shakla Vetaria of the Gemara, not Dafka Lefi, the Seder of the Gemara, but Lefi Seder of the topic, with the Iker Toisvesen, which the basic Toisvesen, the basic Kashas, the basic Machis, Hashem, and Toisvesen, etc., and then we'll go into detail exactly what we're talking about. But you'll be able to do that. That means we'll make it a very objective way, the way we sit, a very mathematical equation. Because people like to say, they always ask me the following, tell me, wait a second. In Hebrew they say, Ata lomed ad asof, anachnu lomdim ad asof. In English that means, you don't learn to the end. We learn to the end. That's not their excuse why they learn so slow. They learn to the end. I always ask them, to the end of what? You mean to the end of the Chazon Ish? Or maybe end of Kivega? Or maybe even better, you learn to the end of the Rashba? No, probably even you mean to the end of what Rav and Abaye meant. That's what you mean? To the end of what? You mean to the end of your own brain? Well, also my third grader says that. You ask a third grader, you don't good in your class? Yeah, can. What? Shitchi? Superficial? No, we learn Adasov. Also, third grader says that. Adasov? What do you mean Adasov? To the end of what? So we're going to make a very mathematical equation so we'll know what we're talking about. I'm talking about it. Anybody who's familiar about it, let's say a Mifal HaShas test, in order to do it, if anybody ever saw one of those tests, we're talking about you could chaz a 90 daf in 1 day, that you'll be able to take a Mifal HaShas test. That is a very simple, then we know at least what we're talking about. Now, I took Mifal HaShas test for 21 consecutive years. I know what a Mifal HaShas test is. It's 10 times harder than a Dirshu test. So if anybody did a Dirshu test, it's 10 times harder. I'm talking about that. At that level, 1 year from today, 90 dafim in 1 day. Anybody who's not interested could walk out. But anybody who is, I'll tell them how it's done. And it's very, very simple. There's a few basic things. And I'm going to say it as a... 1 second. I'm going to say there's like a very simple mushroom. Imagine, anybody heard of Mr. Walton, I think his name is? He opened this huge Walmart retail store. It's the largest retail store in the world. I'm not sure how many trillions of dollars they sell over there, or billions, whatever. Probably today it's only millions, I don't know. But it's the largest retail store. It opened in 1964, which means he started from nothing. Yishmael. And I was there in the conversation he had with his manager, whatever it was, his consultant. And I overheard them speak the following. Obviously, I wasn't there. But he said like this. He said, I want to open up a major retail store. Okay, so first thing you gotta do is you gotta rent a place, a store. So he found this store, let's say the size of this. Well, on tape it won't be heard. So it's like 3 meters by 3 meters square. Well, his consultant told him, if that's your big dream and vision of this magnificent retail stores, you're not the guy. You can't have such small hasogas. A person has to have a huge vision. You gotta think, dream, big. Think big. You wanna become major league. If you want to become a little leader, you might make it. No, think big. No, step number one to become a major leader is you want to become a major leader. That's number one. You got to vision it. You got to make yourself a picture how big it is. So number one is rent yourself a big place, not a little store. Not a small store, you're not going to become the billionaire you want to become. You got to become, think big. That's step number one also in learning. In order to become big, you got to think big. You got to get a person has to look kedima, another 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. What does he want to become? Now we'll go into detail on each one. There's four parts. First, I'm going to say what the four parts are, and then we're going to take one at a time, and we'll explain how we get to it. But first, let's just say the four points. So number one is if you want to become a huge retail store owner with 3,500 chains all over the continental USA, you got to start thinking big, and you got to start renting a huge place. A huge place. Otherwise, you're not going to make it. Okay, so this guy actually did, and he rented a huge store. Wonderful. Step number two is that now you got to start bringing merchandise to the store. So what do? So I have this Volkswagen Beetle. You know the Volkswagen Beetle? So I put a carrier on top. Ah, how do you like that? And I start bringing things over. So this guy tells me, the consultant says, no. Listen, if you want to open up Ritzel, you got to get a semi-trailer. You need a truck. You can't with a little beetle, really, it's not going to get things. You got to, every time, bring a lot. The Nimshal HaDover is when you start learning, you got to become a mass producer of Torah. You got to become a mass producer. If all you have is a little beetle in you, or like today, with computer terms, when I bought my first computer, we had 640K memory. Then it became mega. Then it became giga. And then I think there's a new word even today for it. You know what? You need at least 160 giga hard disk in your room. You don't have one? No, so that's a big mistake. Everybody has one. You all have huge minds. First of all, you're Jewish, and that already makes it. But you all have, but you don't use it. It's all on or off. Well, we're going to show how to get it on. We're going to turn it on. Now, anybody, again, if you're not interested, turn it on, so it won't get turned on. But if you are, we'll turn it on. You have it. It's just a person buys a huge computer and there's so much things to do and doesn't know how to use it. He thinks it's only to play this race driver game. No. A major computer you have in your head will have to learn how to use it. That's number two. You got to get yourself a semi-trader, a thing that could actually deliver tremendous amounts of merchandise to your big store. Well, that's number two. And what's the third step? So finally, the person does that, but he has a problem. He goes and buys this, and he parks a semi-trailer next to a wholesaler, and he wants to go buy merchandise. So he says like this, what do you have to sell? He says, well, we have everything. We have scarves and shoes and suits and sweaters. He says, okay, I'll take 156 types of scarves and 2 types of suits. Tell me, do you think he's going to make it? You walk into a store, can you imagine that? You walk into a Walmart store, or to a Sears, or to whatever it is, a JCPenney, or to a Macy's, or whatever it is, and they have, believe Roosevelt, like a museum. 300 types of scarves. But you didn't go to buy a scarf. A scarf you buy when it's cold, you buy the first one you find, right? But a suit you want, and I says, well, I only have 2 types of suits. Would you continue buying in that store? I doubt it. I would probably say this is going to go bankrupt. Well, the nimshal to that is what we call today derech halimud. You got your semi-trader. You're going to pack it in with Torah. And what do people do? They put the wrong things in. They emphasize on things which you shouldn't emphasize on. You don't spend all your money on scarves. You buy your money on things which are the most important things for sale. You can't bring everything. You got to make a discretion. What yes and what no. That we call derech halimud. Now, usually, when I speak in places, I will always elaborate on the first two and the next one, and I skip this one. I always say this, I don't want to talk about derech halimud, because the Rosh Yeshiva is going to throw me out if I'm going to speak about derech halimud, because probably it's very controversial, and he's not going to like what I'm going to say, so I'm not going to talk about it. And usually I tell them in advance, I'm not going to talk about derech halimud. But being that I heard Rav Schechter said very clearly that he's with Badero Halimut, so I assume I'm allowed to talk about it. So I will. You got to know what to spend our time with. And most people waste their time. It's only because somebody is not being mechanech them correctly. They're getting lousy advice. how to spend their time. Not talking about baklonim. Some people are living really basmode. Mamish basmode, and they're just wasting their time. They're not being guided to where to spend your energies on. It's chaval. The fourth thing is, so finally we got this guy with his bit store. The huge shower trailer bringing everything in, and he's bringing in the right things. Right? You got an advisor, a consultant, and he's bringing exactly what you got to bring. In other words, the right amount of suits, the right amount of cameras, the right amount of watches, v'chule, v'chule, v'chule. And every semi-trailer, it's like a train, I don't know, whatever, right? One after another, no, next semi-trailer in, and you unload the things, and you unload the things, and there's big signs all over New York. Rosh Chodesh Nissen, we're opening it up, the Rav is going to come, put up a mezuzah, Hamodiah is going to take a few pictures, or whatever, newspaper, I have no idea, and we're opening it up, grand opening day. Okay, sales, there'll be no special day for that sale, for that day, Rosh Chodesh Nissen will be. And I won't be there. And as you sell, you'll have to do without me, but it will be grand opening, Nissen, Rosh Chodesh Nissen, write it down. And here you come to the store, and you say, I want to buy a new shirt for Shabbos. What color? What size? Fine. Okay, no problem, we have that. I remember it was in the cemetery. But I tried looking for it, and all of a sudden I say, oh my gosh, I'm in trouble. You know what happened? The box of those white shirts, size whatever, are in that box there, which in front of it, there's 65 boxes in front of it, and 83 boxes on top of it, and there's no way to get to it. I'm going to need 3 weeks just to be able to plow my way through and pull it out from there. I would like to see any customer wait that amount of time so that shirt comes out of the box. You just go across the street and you'll buy it right there. It might cost you a dollar more, but you still get it. The nimshal to that is that after people do learn the right derech, they finally got the right derech, they're fully ambitious, and they're willing to do whatever has to be done, and the right derech. But you know what they do afterwards? They learn, but they don't organize everything they have. Everything just thrown in. Make a recall afterwards. Come a month, 2 months, 3 months later, and say, oh, yeah, you learned Gittin? Yeah, really? Oh, very nice. I'm ready now learning Gittin. Maybe you can help me out with the sugya? And you go, the sugya. We learned the good, but I don't remember anything. Why? Because you didn't, when you finished the sugya, put it organized anywhere. You just threw it. And in the meantime, it got cluttered up with more boxes. Now you can't get back to it. We got to learn how to organize things. Everything we finish, to put in an organized manner, and that you're able to make a recall back. Now, people ask me many times, but are you telling me that everything you've learned, you could just like make an instant recall? And I say, of course not. The only ones that could do that, let's say in sales, is when you walk down the streets of Geula, in Yerushalayim, and an Arab comes to you that he stole a few watches and a few carpets and a few whatever, and he has the whole thing in his hand. There, he gets, right now, yeah, what do you want? He has everything in his hand. You know why? Because he has so little to sell. When you have very little to sell, you can all hold in your hand. These major stores, it doesn't work that you walk into a major store and you say, I want a Canon camera, a model this and this and that, right? And then they tell you, oh, yeah, I have it right in my pocket. Nobody does that. They tell you very, whatever the word is, and they tell you very nicely, please, sir, wait a few, 2 moments, if you don't mind, and we'll be right back. And what do they do? They have it all organized within minutes. The shortest amount of time they could get any item, and we're talking about millions of items, they have any item within 2 to 3 minutes they could get to. Color, model, everything you want. Everything. Why? Because they learned how to organize. People, I assume, probably spent 4 years in university learning how to do it. Well, you're going to learn in 20 minutes. It's very simple things how to do it. But the nimshal is also now learning. Everything you learn, you got to make it, put it in a way that you always come back to it. That you always come back to it. I always say, it's like, a person, now the things I'm going to tell, dover hashova lechol nefek, it's irrelevant what derech of learning you learn, whatever what style you are, whatever your emotional nitiya is, it's irrelevant, right? And it's like soda bottles. You know, you could buy Pepsi, Coke, you could buy Cola, you could buy, you know, different types, you could buy different sizes, cold, hot, different tachshirim, whatever you want. Did you ever notice, at least in Eretz Yisrael, that's right, that all the bottle caps, no matter what you buy, they all fit to each bottle. Did you ever notice that? This is the thing. Right, you could buy, you could use a Pepsi cap for a Coca-Cola bottle, no matter what size. I always say, what I'm going to teach you is one thing, is when you open up a soda bottle, don't throw away the cap. You know why? Because you do that, and you drink half the bottle, and now you didn't finish it, what are you going to do? It's going to spill. Or it might, the carbonation might come out. So all I'm going to tell you is one thing. The cap, keep it. You know why? So you'll be able to keep whatever you have. That's all it is. That's a davar shavu l'chol nefesh. No matter what you buy, no matter what drink you buy, the cap works. The cap that I'm talking about now, how to keep what you're learning, is no matter what your style of learning is, it works. It's the same thing. Now let's take one at a time and let's talk about them a little more about Arichut, the Fima Shazman Noten. That'd be the first thing. We said a person has to have a vision. In Hebrew, it's called She'ifa. You gotta have a She'ifa. You gotta have a dream. You gotta have a vision. What do you want? A person has to think, where does he want to be in a year from now? Where does he want to be 5 years from now? What does he vision? He should close his eyes and imagine. What does he want to be in a few years from now? Well, most people say, I have no idea. I don't know. Usually he goes, you know, whatever the curriculum, whatever it's called, the studies, I don't know. Well, therefore, she'll get nowhere. I'll give you a few simple answers. A few simple answers how to increase your she'ifa immensely, totally. I've done it, and it would. Incredibly. Now, I don't have any idea where I got this idea from. None. And I don't know. I, you know, some places before you speak, you have to say everything you got from this sefer and from that sefer. I don't know which sefer I got anything from. I just think a lot, and it's trial and error. And I'm giving you all the things that worked. And I'm going to give you a few aces how to just, again, let me make clear. Any person who's not interested to make himself into anything will not. Like I said, if a guy has a sports car, it could go very fast, but if you don't turn on the ignition, it won't go anywhere. It won't go. You've got to turn on the ignition. But if we're talking about people who are interested, but they don't know how to get themselves further ignited, I'll give you a few practical, simple aces. Number one, a person has to know how big the Torah is. And I'm letting you guys know the Torah is huge. If people would realize how big the Torah is, they wouldn't be kvetching on 3 lines a week. There's so much. My father used to always tell us, well, when we used to go on summer camps, we used to go to Six Flags and to this Luna Park and to this zoo and to this that. You know, in America, it's big things. And my father always told us, big yourself. It's a tremendous principle. The first thing you do when you get to a new Six Flags Luna Park or to Disneyland, you know what you should do? You should take the train around Disneyland and see what there is to see. Why? Because what happens like this. A person comes to Disneyland and he sees Mickey Mouse. Shalom Aleichem, Mickey. And he's sure that that's what Disneyland is all about. And here he's spending time there. He works out with his earworks and all this thing. And an hour and a half passed away. And then he goes, you know, one with Donald Duck and another whatever, I forgot their names. The day is over. He's under the assumption that all of Disneyland is that, because he doesn't know better. He doesn't know what there is to see. So my father used to tell us, take the train around. First see what there is to see. Then decide how to fill up your day. You got to see what there is. Torah is huge. You have no idea. Go to any Torah library. You know, they give chasonim, at least, I don't know, a shas, right? They do that here also. When a chasson gets engaged, so the child gives him a shas. It's not because she's expecting that you already know shas. She's hoping that you will know when after she marries you. That's what she's giving you. But we know it's all a non big mekaftos. And I personally opened up, I have copyrights on it, so don't steal my idea, okay? But I have I printed a one volume thing that college should give to the chassonim. It has the first 8 dafim of Sinlatet Mesechtes, a little Mishneh Berurah, a little Chumash, all in one volume. Because that's anyway what you're going to know. First step is, you got a shas. Look at it, what there is. Open it up. Turn the pages. I did that. Right after I got married, so my wife worked and she came home at around 9 p.m. and I got home around 8 p.m. So it was 1 hour that before she got home. And I never ate supper without her. I'm happily married for over 26 years. And so I would have an hour to waste. So what do? So I'll tell you what I did. And now I'm being very, very serious. What I did for that hour is the following. We had an apartment, a friend of mine who went to America. I lived in there so I was got married there. I'm living there for 28 years. And and my friend gave me his apartment for free of charge. A friend of mine went to America, gave us for 2.5 years, we lived there free of charge. He had a lot of phones. And so many phones, unbelievable. And there was no room even to put another countress in there. It was like mama's packed with some for a private library was huge. What I do was for an hour a day, I would just take out a sefer. Shalom Aleichem, Meseches, I'll say this, by then I would be, but let's say this one. Shalom Aleichem, Meseches, Yevomis. I didn't even learn Yevomis at the time. Falashas wasn't holding there yet. And I just turned the pages. I would open to Yevomis, and I would look at every daf for like 5 seconds, just to see the tzure. What does it look like? Are there, how many dafim are there? Are there more, a lot of taste of sin, little taste of sin, etc. I would just turn the pages. I wouldn't even learn one word. You don't have to make a bechas atayr on it. Nothing. Turn the pages. Go through, I went through Shulchan Aruch, I would turn the pages of Shulchan Aruch. Another daf, there's a Magen Avraham, there's a Taz, there's a this, there's a that. Become familiar. Say Shalom Aleichem, become acquainted with the Torah. Nothing more. Just say hello. Not more. But it's very important to know what there is. Turn the pages. You know what that does? I'll tell you two things it does. Number one it does is that you start to get a little more of a rachmas and das. Do you know exactly what's going on? Number two, what it does, it makes a hunger. It makes a hunger for Torah. It's Moshe Lamar Dover Doimer. Is when on Shavasa the Tammuz, when you're starving and you're walking down the street here and someone is making a pizza, and all of a sudden the saliva fills up your mouth. Right? Well, so why don't you go buy yourself a pizza? Well, there's a half hour to go for the tinus. Which means, well, did it make you an appetite? Did you get hungry? You want it? Oh, you want it, but you can't have it yet. Okay, that's what we're trying to do with Torah also. Make yourself an appetite for Torah. The way it's done is first see what there is. Get a smell out of it. A smell. Zeh, reach, ein bom mishum ile. There's no chisson. That means just smell type. Just get acquainted with what there is. Turn the pages of Shulchan Aruch. Turn the pages of the Rambam. I took the Rambam, the whole thing. Mitchinosa bat soifer. I made myself a survey. How many plucking? I made myself not much like a chart. Hilchus this. Now this and this plucking, which neisekenim are in the Rambam. How many Ravids are there? Where is the most Rambam and Ravid in all Sefer Yad? Does anybody have any idea? I'll ask you one question. I don't mean anybody to answer, unless somebody really knows the answer. Because if they don't know the answer, you're being taped and you look foolish. There's one question. The one topic that more tshuvas were written by Poistin than any other topic in all of Shulchan Aruch is the Nosei Agunot. Agunot is a woman who's married and can't find her husband disappeared. Right? That's one big shayla. There's no topic in Shulchan Aruch more discussed than the Nosei of Agunot, unfortunately. Okay? Does anybody have any idea where Hilchos Agunot is in the Rambam? I've asked that question to many people. Do anybody know it's in Shulchan Aruch? What siman it is? It's the most major. What? Your time. I'm in the Rambam. Where's in the Rambam? A major thing, Agunot. There's no such thing as being a poisek in any day if you don't know Hilchos Agunot is the basics. Does anybody know what that is?
People have,
what? Very nice. That's correct. The point is that become acquainted with Torah. Know what there is. Then I would take Svarim. I would take the Rosameach, turn it, page one, page two. Just get familiar. It's like taking the train around the Luna Park, around Disney World. Just see what there is. See how much there is to learn. It's unbelievable. The moment you realize how much there is to learn and you see it, the saliva starts, I would love to learn this. I remember personally, when I turned the pages of Shulchan Aruch Yishei Mishpat, Simin Chofei, that's where exactly when the Shach gets huge, it becomes so huge that the Sipoton has otiyot, has letters in there. that every Steve Carlton has Steve Carlton. I did it. And I looked at it. Please, at home, when you got home, Simon Chafei Choshemish, but there's still Chafei, the shots aren't that long. But Simon Chafei is always like, wow, it's mind blowing, overwhelming. And I looked at it. I said, when will I ever learn this? It was overwhelming, unbelievable. And another page, I'm talking pages that there's only shot from top to bottom. Pages on pages. In the end, the Shachar makes you a summary of it. And I thought to myself, when will the day come that I'll learn it? Nobody asked the question, did I learn it since then? So I won't answer that question. Hilchos Dayanim, for an example, I wrote three sets of summaries in Hilchos Dayanim. Three types since then. It all happened, it started the day I turned the pages and I noticed it was there and I wanted and I had a desire to know it. I had a desire. That doesn't mean that right now I'm going to learn it. No, I don't have the money. I want to go into Disneyland. How much does a ticket cost? $10. Oh, I only have $8. So I can't walk in. But I want it. I want it. You know why I don't want to go to Disneyland? I'll be honest with you. Because I never was by the entrance. I really wasn't. I was never in Florida. I was never in California. I am sure, even at my age, if I'll just step next to there, I want to go. So how do you get yourself tempted to go? By standing next to it. If a person wants to become a Talmid Chacham, just stand next to the Torah. Just become familiar with it. Become familiar with how big it is. It's huge. Turn the pages of the Torah. You have sperm at home? Turn the pages. People get bar mitzvah presents for sperm for bar mitzvah presents, right? Did you ever open them up? Just see what they are. What's there? Well, you know, maybe it's a sefer written in Romanian. I mean, just see what it is. Become familiar with that. It makes a tremendous taiva for learning. Tremendous taiva. Besides, it gives you a much wider musadim, a wider, like, how do you say that?
Perspective.
Yeah, perspective, whatever. It gives you, yeah. Right? But that's what it does. It's so important. That's number one. Eitza number two. And being honest, we're just lacking in time. They told me I'm only allowed to talk 10 minutes, but I passed that. So, the second eitza is like this. I have many eitzas on every area, but we're going to have to cut it short. Unless someone, I'm flying back on Thursday at 2:30 p.m. from Newark Airport. Anybody who wants could fly with me. I have a seat next to me open. The second eitza is like this. A person has to have a model, someone he admires, a personality that by him, that's the shleimus ha'odom. That's the person he's like, wow. Lahavdil million havdolos. But kids were brought up the baseball stars. I don't know who the baseball stars are today, but in my days, so then you'll know how old I am. So, but in my days, who was the big star? Willie Mays. You know, Adayom, I want you to know that my password code for certain internet sites which I need is Willie Mays. Okay? And so don't try, but I'm going to change it as of tomorrow. But it is. And I grew up. Right, Willie Mays was already in his last year. And I was like, wow, I got him. Now, you know, I went to school and we all had the full sets of baseball cards and, you know, all these things. And that's where we grew up. We wanted to. What's the idea of this baseball card? What's the idea of it? It makes a sheaf. A kid looks at it and he, wow, this is what I want. That's what it's there for. It makes it, wow, I want to be like that. I want to be like that. And all of a sudden you see that if Willie Mays says that you got to eat these potato chips, you just got to eat these potato chips. That's what all advertisement is all about. Because they become your idols. You've got to have an idol. You got to have somebody, whoever it is. I'm not even going to suggest or recommend. Everybody picks, but we'll take people who are very powerful and very new. For an example, I'll give you a very simple example. On your telephone, you put always a picture of the Chofetz Chaim on it. Why? Well, let's say a guy comes and says, I want to stop talking Lashon Hara. So people will tell you, you know what, put a picture of the Chofetz Chaim right next to your phone. Okay, so I know some of you did that. And after a week, he comes and tells me he has a problem. And here's the Chofetz Chaim stand right at me. So I take the phone, I want to talk Lashon Hara, so I turn my back around and I talk Lashon Hara. Now, that's not funny. It's true. And you know why that is? I'll explain to you exactly what goes, what's the psychology of that. It's a very simple thing. When the Chofetz Chaim is staring right at you, you know, he can't get out of that glass frame and bite you. Well, we know that. No, that picture is a mirror. That's you, what you want to become. That's what you want to become. You put the picture of the Chofetz Chaim, you really do want to become the Chofetz Chaim. You don't want to talk Lashon Hara. You really do want. And that's what's bothering you. You can't talk Lashon Hara when he's staring at you because you're staring at yourself, what you really want to become. That's why you have to turn your face away. You don't want to look at what you think and what you really want to become. You want to pretend like you're asleep for a certain while. That's why the person turns his face around. That's why we have to have a picture of somebody that you idolize, whoever it is. My personal idol, right? I have two pictures for that thing. One is the Chofetz Chaim, and the second one is Rav Moshe Feinstein, who, Moshe Feinstein, I don't know if you know, everybody heard of him, right? He's the person who I see is the Shalim Ha'odam. I was zoicha to see him before I left Eretz Yisrael on March 29th, 1981. So three days before, that means March 26th, 1981, I went to Manhattan, the Lower East Side, to get a bracha from Rav Moshe. I saw him, I took his hand, he gave me a bracha, I told him I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, and it was the only time I ever saw, I was zoicha to see the Dolol Hador, zoicha tzarek levracha. After that, for the next Shabbos, and that's 2 days later, it was on Thursday, and then Shabbos ate by Moshe Shiva, Baram Shachter, and I told him I went to Moshe Feinstein, and I got a bracha from him, and he asked me what was my reaction, and like, how did I, you know, and I told him, the whole time I was looking at him, and I couldn't believe it. Do you know that Rav Moshe had two eyes and two ears and a nose and a face and two hands? Did you know that? Till I saw Rav Moshe, I thought that Rav Moshe was an angel. He was a malach. Something that, you know, I can't become. I mean, he's a malach. No, also I realized I was staring at him the whole davening. The whole davening, I was just looking at him. He was also very, very short. Extremely. And it's awesome. I don't know anyone who's zoicha to see a real godel. It's awesome. Yeah. That picture of Moshe Feinstein is on my living room wall. I had a seder with looking at Moshe Feinstein's picture, eye to eye. I'm not saying jokes enough. When I'll tell you jokes, I'll pick up my hand, then you know when you laugh. Eye to eye, looking at his face. Just looking at him. Try that one time. Take a good look at your mamish idolize. You just like when you talked about him, wow. You just didn't be sitting outside in 22-0 outside. When it comes to speaking about your godel, you're all warm. Everybody has something like that. Or everybody should have someone like that. Who's your godel? Who's the person that, wow, you just get you all excited, have a seder. Get his picture on the wall. And have a seder just looking directly inside his eyes for 30 seconds. You won't believe it, what it does to you. It just changes you. That's what I'm telling you. That's the picture of all the time where you can't talk Lashon Hara while he's staring at you. Because that's what you want to become. So you feel like, what am I, a tattoo de sasser? He's a hypocrite. I can't, you know, talking Lashon Hara. Because, why? Because that's what I want to become. And I'm doing exactly the opposite of what I want to become. So when you have a picture of a godel betoya, the person that you like, it just, all of a sudden you get all steamed up. Have a seder 30 seconds a day, just staring at them and thinking to yourself, closing your eyes, imagining. They say, Rav Gifter used to say, I saw it many years after, but Bosha Kivanti, but just first I'll say what I did. And like I had a, I guess we rented for 20 years an apartment. There was no place even to put the smallest chuveret. Nothing. Even a paper like this, there was no room. It was not full, the hole. There was a hole, maybe like all these closets here. Get them on the phone, the guy here. A huge amount. And then I decided that I want to put my own summaries and my own sikumim and the gemara I was learning on the shelf. But there was no place to put. So you know what I did? I took out a whole shelf of svarim. A whole shelf of svarim. And I had to put them somewhere. So I had to put one in back of the other, one on top of the other, one on this and one on that. Got them all out. And here I put my one notebook. How do you say, whatever. And I went over and sit on the shelf. The rest of the shelf is empty. And I told my wife at the time, now this seems to be like ridiculous. Why are you putting all those foam in a place that there's no room for them? And you're sitting there and you're taking even, I took the back seat, the best shelf on the house. It was all for me, and here I put my one notebook there, with my sikumim, with one eye, and daftar, you know, one notebook paper, it's like one, whatever, how do you say it, and it was sitting there, right, 99% of the shelf was empty, and that's what I did, and I put it there, and my wife asked me, what's this, and I told her, one day, the whole shelf will be filled with my own divrei Torah. Then it looked like, you know, The chances of that happening is approximately the chances of the U.S. economy straightening out. I was like, hopeless. No way. But it happened. And you know what? Not only did that trust fill up, I'll be modest, so I won't tell you how much. Okay? But it's even more than all those four shops. Much more. And you know why? Because when that I started, I had a vision of what I want to be in another 5 years from now. You got to think big. You got to think continue. What do you want? How far do you want to get? What do you want, a little notebook there? No. I want to have a full thing. I want to have a full shelf. At the time, I thought that was a lot. Full shelf. That's why all the others spawn. They have to go behind the other ones. I heard afterwards when Mordechai Gifter had the same idea when he was a boy. He had this Rabbonim album, you know, 12 kids have. It says, Lahav, the Baruch Hashem, it's a good thing. The children have these Rabbonim albums. And he had all the Rabbonim, and he placed one empty page. And his mother asked him, why is there an empty page? And he said, because one day there'll be a picture of me in there. That's what Rav Gifter said. Boshek Ivanti. That's the point. That's what you got to do. Think what you want to be. Well, that's the eights regarding point number one. Well, because we're running short on time, so we'll cut short on that. But there's many other eight sort. But that we'll just summarize the two. Number one, become acquainted with the Torah. Look through what there is to sell. Look how big the Torah is. Make yourself that you become a thirst for it. All of a sudden, your stomach becomes hungry for it. Does that mean right now you have to learn it? No. No. You don't have the money to do it now. You don't have the time. Fine. But it will come one day. And eight's a number two. Everybody should have a godel b'Torah that he absolutely idolizes. And I don't care who it is. No, we're not going to now put politics. Pick anybody you want. Anybody. Whoever a person you think is a person that just gets you turned on. You love talking about him. You read this, you see the newspaper has a story about him, and you already read that story 50 times. And you read it again with the same thirst. Whoever that is, get a big picture of him, get in your living room, and have a seder with him, staring in his eyes for 30 seconds a day. It will change you. Totally. I want to make a good bet that nobody will do it. Yeah, I know. The photographer across the series may happen to be my first cousin. He's going to make a lot of money. But you won't do it. After one time of doing it, of looking in his eyes, you won't do it a second time. That just tells him to prove you how good of an eight set is. Because a good eight is usually the eight, so Hora doesn't let you do it. It's just a simple thing. I said, I'll prove it to you. It says good aces, it so doesn't allow. Want another good eight set or something else like Amri? I recommend, you know, broches, you know, we say, right? We swallow half the words, like we swallow the water, half the words come through. I always say, you know what? Want to make a shahato? Very simple thing. Just stop for a tenth of a second, twice. Make two stops. No, two rest stops. After the word Hashem, stop for a tenth of a second. After the word Ha'olam, tenth of a second. That's it. It won't take you much. You know, the water won't disappear. It doesn't dehydrate that fast and evaporate and that fast. Right? It doesn't. Two tenths of a second. You know what? Anybody who will do that for 2 days straight, I will give them $100. You won't do it. You know why? Because it's too good of a thing. So it won't let you do it. It's so simple. It doesn't cost anything. But you won't do it. You won't do this either. But I'm telling you now, for that reason, such a good answer. Because I know I looked at a few of these people's faces and I was saying, oh boy, that's a stupid thing. I put up a picture and look at this thing. It sounds so childish. Yeah. Apparently, Yisrohova got into you even before the first time. It works. I'm telling you, it works. It works. You just got to get yourself motivated. It's all it is. You have a person and just... By the way, the Rambam says in the Forsh, in the end of Chelek, about speaking about the Gedolei Yisrael, that's how you get to Avas Hashem. There's an inyan to speak about the Gedolei Torah. That's a tzaddikim. That brings to Avas Hashem. The Rambam writes it. So if the Rambam writes it, it must be true. Okay? That's point number one. Now let's go on. The second thing was about the summit trailer. Okay. So this is like this. They told me I'm allowed to speak for an hour, and I'm being serious, so I have 7 minutes to go. So another 7 minutes, I will turn around, and anybody wants to walk out, could. And if there's anybody remaining, I will continue. This way, I was Mekayim, what they told me, that I'm only speak for an hour. And from then on, it's on your chesed. And so this way, I didn't reach any deal. I'm serious. Anybody wants to walk out after 7th, I will turn around, and I won't even sing. That means how do you get a summit trader? How do you get your to get your learning in a major change? Okay. I will tell you a very simple system. Let's even say, well, I told you that well, 1 year from now, you'll be able to do 90 daf in 1 day. I'll show you how it's done. It's very simple. The mikra last week, one of my kids showed me, it's a TV program, I'm not really sure, someone showed me in a disc, like different magic tricks, how they're done. So certain magic tricks you see, you say, wow, you know how it's done. And then after you see how it's done, you think to yourself, how is this so stupid to think that, so my kids put it really about the day before, it showed me a disc, they got from somewhere, like different magic tricks, and you make a truck disappear, and you make this, you're like, you're spoiled, wow. I'm going to show you a thing which is so simple, which you'll be wondering why am I coming here and telling you this? You should have been told this way a long time ago. I don't know. Maybe we'll make a TV show out of it. Simple things. Very simple things. And we're now we're getting to the point how we're going to get 1 year from today. Write it down. 1 year from today, I go through the Hebrew calendar. Write it down, whatever it is. 1 year from today. 90 daf in 1 day. Okay? That's what we're talking about. It's done the following. For argument's sake, we'll assume now that a person's head is able to hold a certain amount of Torah. A person's brain is like a sponge, which means you can hold a certain amount of knowledge in your head, which after that point, you have a certain amount of water in a sponge, which after that point, if you put another drop of water, whatever you put in, the previous drop falls out. That's our head. We have a certain amount of space of our head in our head, and whatever we can hold, there's a certain amount. And then we put a drop more in, a drop comes out. And that's what the seesaw story is all about. So we got to buy ourselves a bigger sponge. That's what we got to do. Just a bigger sponge. It could hold more. How do we do that? So for argument's sake, we'll assume now that an average person in this room, now I have no idea if it's right or wrong, but for argument's sake, is that it works the same way no matter what the equation is. That a person can hold 10 daffim of Gemara in his head at one time, that if he adds number 11, he will lose number 1. Now, if a person says, yeah, I can't do 10, I can do 5. It's the same thing with 5 or 10, the same system, just you'll be one step before, and it will take you another 2 months to get there. But for argument's sake, 10 daffim. The following has to be done. Well, I have a Masechus Gittin in front of me, and today I learned Gittin Daf Beis. I don't care if it takes you a day to learn the phase, if it takes you a week to learn the phase, if it takes you a month to learn the phase, if it takes you a year to learn the phase. It's the same equation. A quarter and 2/8 and 4/16 are all the same. So it's irrelevant exactly what if it takes you. It's the same x, y. It's an algebra equation. But let's assume it takes you 10 daffin and you do a daff a day. Just for argument's sake, okay? So we're talking even numbers. So day number 1, you learn Daf Beis. Very nice. What are you doing that next day? You learn Daf Gimel. The following day, Daf Dalet. In the end of 10 days, you finish 10 Daf. What do you do now? You do not continue. You go back to Daf Beis, and you start reviewing it again. Then the second time you go around, obviously, it won't take you a Daf a day. You'll be able to do 2 Daf a day. Because you're a little familiar already. Yeah, there's certain things you don't remember. Yeah, there's certain things you really didn't understand. It's true. But definitely, it's better than the first time. Yes, absolutely. So the second time you're around, you'll be able to do 2 daffim, but then within 5 days, you finish the 10. And what do you do then? You do a third time. The third time, you'll probably be able to do, let's say, 3 daffim in the same allotted time that you gave yourself. And within 3 days or 4 days, you finish those 10 daffim. And what do you do then? You do it again. And then you do it again, and then you do it again, and then you do it again. Till when? Till you could do 10 daffin in one sitting. 10 daffin in a shot. You should just feel the experience that you walk into a Beis Medrash, you take a shtender, derech agav, I recommend, when you chazer, you should be doing it while you're standing, not while you're sitting. A person, when he stands, it's true that his physical body becomes a little more tired than sitting, but he's much more alert, he's much less sluggish, and his brain works much better. I always, when I speak, I'm always standing. And it's always better. You could earn much more energy comes when you're standing. The chazor should be when you're standing. Now, you should get yourself before your coffee, your whatever you drink, make sure yourself, you have the tissues, make sure whatever you got, and get yourself a corner. And just do the chazor when you're standing up. Now, we're going to have many aces on that also, but I'm just putting that in right now. But the idea is 10 dafim in one shot. Feel the experience of learning 10 dafim in one day. In one shot. That means your nervous system can handle it. Your brain can handle it. Nervously, it's hard for people to handle a lot of material. Not only because your brain isn't smart enough, even if it was, it gets you nervous. So we got to learn how to break that nervous down. Get used to it. 10 dafim. You know what it's like? Well, the first time the bank manager calls you up, you know, you're $50 under. Oh, boy, your day is shot. Right? So today, 50 bucks under. Oh, Levi, it's a great day. You got to learn, you're nervous, how to handle things, how to become more... I can't find the word. My English is forgotten. You got to learn... Just how to handle things, you know? 10 dafim. You did it. Wonderful. What's the next step? The next step is to do the same thing for the next 10 dafim. Now we have two sets of 10 dafim. Now what? Now put the two 10s together and make it into a 20. Go from daf beis all the way to chof aleph on the bottom. Now you won't be able to do that in one day. Just because you can do 10 dafim, you can do 10 dafim, that doesn't mean you can do one shot 20. Not at all. Just because I pick up 5 pounds of potatoes and another 5 pounds of potatoes, doesn't mean I can pick up 10 pounds of potatoes at the same time. It doesn't mean. You won't necessarily, and not only won't necessarily, you definitely will not be able to. Because your nervous system and your whole system, your concentration system, it can't do it. It can't handle 20 dafim yet. So what do? So you start from daf beis and you got, well, till daf yud beis, you'll definitely be able to do it. Because you did a month ago. But now you'll be able to push it to daf yud gimel. You know what it's like? It's like push-ups. You want to do 100 push-ups? Well, it doesn't happen one day. You got to do one day one, one day two, one day three. You know what happens then? A funny thing. When your brother, when your friend comes in and shows you you can do 6 push-ups, oh, your adrenaline just shoots up and you say, I can do all the 6. Right? Certain things get a person all excited up. But it doesn't happen in one day, in one shot. Get those 20. So one time you get 12, and you get to the end of the 20, and you go back again. And this time you'll be able to get 13 dafim in a cycle, 14 dafim, 15 dafim, 18 dafim. And all of a sudden, you're, wow! And you did 20. Tremendous, beautiful. Does anybody do that today? Well, that will only take you. Now most people are thinking to themselves, one second, how many hours do I do this, and what times, and should I eat my Cheerios before or after? I have no idea. I mean, you know, I don't know what your personal schedules are. Whatever time you decide that you're going to allot for this to make your brain, your heart just bigger, it's an hour a day or 10 hours a day or whatever you decide. It's not up to me. Whatever you want. But do this system and that allotted amount of time. And just move forward. Now, if you can't do 10 dafim, for you, 5 dafim is already, you know, gets you all. So work on 5. If 1 dafim is already a hard thing for you, so work on 1 dafim. Right? Every day you could do 10 lines. Okay. But you could do 1 dafim, but by the time you get to the next dafim, you're all lost. No problem. 10 lines, 10 lines, 10 lines, 10 lines, 10 lines, 10 lines. That's 40 lines per page, 80 lines, 8 things, get it over, and then do it again. Again, and again, and again, and then, until you do the whole daf in one shot. Wonderful. Then you do daf gimel, the same system. Then put beis and gimel together. Okay? So it's irrelevant if it's 10, or if it's 1, or if it's 5, or it's 50, or whatever. If there's a genius over here, 100. But it's irrelevant. It's the same formula, whatever it is. Whatever you're going to start with, this is the system. Then after you do 20, you do the next thing with another 10. And the fourth set of 10. Then you put set 3 of 10 and set 4 of 10 together and make another 20. And then you make a 40. You make a 40. Go through 40 dafim. 40 dafim. I've chazed personally. I used to chaz 100 dafim a day. And when I told you, when I first started Gemara, 18 dafim in 1 month was the hardest thing I did in my life. It's nothing to chaz 100 dafim a day. I'll even tell you an interesting story. That my second daughter was born, which was 23 years ago and whatever, and a half. 23 and a half years ago. So we were by my in-laws for my in-laws after the birth. And I told my shir, Stam, that I finished myself as Yevomis today. And he asked me, when did I start? So I told him this morning. I really didn't mean anything. You know, if you get to know me, I'm not into COVID, and I'm into other things, you know, but not into that. And I just didn't mean it. I just was natural. I mean, my Rebbe was on the, everything I'm telling you now, I got from him. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm telling it over, because he doesn't know English, although he speaks it here. And I don't know English either, apparently, but he much knows than me. But that's what he told me to do. So that's what I did. So that's a Yevamis, right? I just went through Yevamis from cover to cover. You know, what, day one? No, of course not. I did this system. This system. Then 40, then 50, then 60, then 70, then 80, then 90, then 100, 110, 120. 121. That's what I did. That's what happens. It's no big deal after you do the system, you get there. Obviously, it sounds incredible. I didn't really mean anything. I just told him. Well, anyways, he went. He was very close to Rav Eliashiv. He passed away next year, about 2 years ago. And he went to Rav Eliashiv. This he told me 10 years later on Purim. And he told me, I went after that story, I went to Rav Eliashiv and I told him, I don't know, my son was crazy. He tells me he learned in Yevamis in one day. So Rav Eliashiv told him, really? So that is. That's the way to learn. So my shver told me, it was on another Purim, 10 years later. He tells me, I came to hang Mordechai on the tree, and here I come, and you know, everything turns upside down. So after a minute, you know, I toshashti, shkoyim kishor chade, and I asked Rav Eliashiv, so why don't people do that? So Rav Eliashiv said, because it's too hard. But that's the way to learn. That's the way to do it. 40, they make it 50, they make it 60, 70, 80, 90. And I only promised 90, Sachos Gitten, so we'll stop there. Get 90 daf. It's all done that way. Now let me make a very major principle in life. Tremendous principle in life. Always go forward. Never go backwards. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Never. That's one of the biggest mistakes that people do in learning. They go backwards. You always go forward. And I'll tell you what I mean. But first I'll say with a little about a jigsaw puzzle. I'll ask you a simple question. I want to teach my kids how to make jigsaw puzzles, you know, these 5,000 pieces jigsaw puzzles. So I remember my mommy used to tell me, when you make a jigsaw puzzle, you have two boxes. You know why every jigsaw puzzle has a box and a cover, so it turns into two boxes? You know why? The real reason why is because when you could separate the puzzle pieces, you separate the frame from the inside pieces. Is that correct? That's why there are two pieces of box in every puzzle. I never saw a puzzle that doesn't have two pieces of box. It's a nice, but it just proves my point. And you separate them. You put the frame here, and you put the inside pieces here. And what do you do first? You make the frame. Is that correct? Well, you first make the little, you know, four corners, and then you make the frame. I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm a ganenet over here, you know, teaching you kindergarten kids, but that's what it's done. Now, I ask you a very simple question. Maisa Shahoya with me. And I want to know, everybody will think to himself, what would he say? And I know, now that I'm answering the question, you're going to see the other way around. But what would you have said if I wanted to tell you the story? Now, you put this frame in, and you take out a piece from the frame box, and you pick it up, and it's not a frame box. You made a mistake. When you did a boiler over here, and you separated the two things, by accident, a piece of inside fell into the frame. You pick it up. Oh, I know where it goes. It goes right there. It's perfect. And it does go right there. Should you or should you not put that piece there? Now, all of you would have said before me, right, the previous speaker asked you the same question, and he said, yeah, sure, you put it there. And you said, well, this guy sophomore has to say you don't. You're right. But does anybody know why? And I'll tell you why. Because if you put that piece right there, I guarantee you, you will not finish that puzzle. Guarantee. Why? Because it loses your focus. Well, that piece really did fit over there. That's true. But now I continue with my frame. Now I pick another piece. And I think it goes there. But it doesn't. Oh, yeah, it goes there. Now I get a little aggravated. And now I lose my focus. And when that continues another three or four things like that, puzzle is back. Well, I say puzzle's back and the shelf. My kids say puzzle stays on the floor. But you're never going to finish that puzzle. No way. Because you lost focus. That's one of the biggest mistakes that people do. They have a program how to continue forward, and they let different things stare them, and they go backwards. Never go backwards. That doesn't mean that You go from Brochus and you know Daf Beis and Daf Gimel, and I'll never see Brochus Daf Beis again until I finish all of Shas, Dabli, Yushami, Sefisa, from the... No, of course not. We're making a 10 Daf program over here. We're getting, trying to get you that there's 10 Daf in, you'll be able to get it in one click. When you're holding Daf Gimel, I know that you don't know Daf Beis perfect. You're not expected to know Daf Beis perfect from one time. That wasn't the expectation. No one called for that. The program is to get to the end of the 10 Daf and make another circle around. And if you don't do that, you go back. Well, I don't know Daf Beis. I'll set this up. That's not the point. Now, that definitely means that if you're reading Arba Rosh Hashanim Heim, and I don't know what the words Rosh Hashanim, so that doesn't mean because I said the words, I don't can't go back and figure out what those words mean and open up an article and find out what the words mean. That, I don't mean that. Nobody thinks I'm that stupid, right? I don't mean that. That's, you're still in the present of those words. You're still there trying to understand what's written. I'm talking about when day one you finish that daf and you know that daf, to go next day and go backwards is the biggest mistake you could make. And that's why, one of the reasons, people get nowhere. They lose focus. What's the focus? Now, I heard from my Rebbe, I heard so many things from my Rebbe, but also this particular thing. He even told me he's a mushel. Everything I'm telling you I heard from him. So it's like, you're tired to say I heard this. Everything, everything. Except for the puzzle thing. That I thought on my own. But I once heard from him a tremendous thing. He said, if he would be able to fix the Olam HaKoyel, he would do one thing. One thing! He would only ask for anybody who joins a Koyel. Let's say they make me a Rosh Koyel, right? So they decide I'm going to become the head of the YU Koyel. Well, okay. So I'll tell you what I'm going to ask from every single one of you as of Netzman. Netzman means Aleph Ear. Just let you know what you're going to have to do. I want every single one of you just to write to me. That's the only condition I have to join my koyel. By the way, I pay more than everybody. Right? I want one thing and only one thing only. You can come, you know, with any shirt you want. I don't care. Right? One thing. Write me on an index card. What are you planning to do? That's it. That's it. What are you planning to do? What do you want to achieve in the next 3 months? From, I don't know, I know it's selling, which I'm going to get to Tisha B'Av, right? What are you planning to achieve in the next 100 days? Just write it down in this card. And I have absolutely no criticism, whatever you write. You're going to write over there, I want to learn the first toss of gracious law of Tumis Hashemayim V'Sa'aret, the EU. Wonderful. Write down whatever you want. Whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you what Derech and learning to write, what you're going to, whatever you want. And you know what I'm going to do is, after 1 month, I'm going to just find out if you did one third of what you claimed that you're going to do. That's it. You know what happens? People change all the time. Well, then when they learn like this, they first start and the base and they graduate for 2 weeks on the first lash. But then after 2 weeks, they say, oh boy, you know, this is no way. We've got to finish the Misesta. So they decide then we're going to zoom up. And the next two diaphragm, whoop, they zoom up 100 miles an hour. And then they say, oh no, this is too, you know, superficial. Do you know what? Maybe we'll learn, the one she plays is Rosh Ran. Okay, so the next two diaphragm is Rosh Ran. But then some guy comes up, what do you mean Rosh Ran? What, you didn't see the tzoyis? Oh yeah, you're right, you got to do tzoyis. You know what? Maybe we'll do an Omer day thing. And that's how the Misesta becomes coin, pieces. That's a change of focus. You're changing schedules every other week. That's called going backwards. Have a program and just stick to it. Stick to it. It clicks in the long run. It won't that. You're not going to know Daf Beis and Aleph from the first time. I never claimed that. I think I said it very clearly. It's going to take, with all the cycles around, you're going to be seeing it maybe 20 times. But the 20th time, you'll have it perfect. It won't happen the first time, but keep on forward. Never go backwards. It's a major mistake. It's doomed for failure. It won't work. Forward. We get to the end of the point, whatever you decided what the schedule was, you're holding the 10, the 20, whatever you're holding, do it again. Of course, do it again, but then you're moving forward. The world is round. So you're always flying east. And then all of a sudden I see Korea and China and Los Angeles and New York and so Korea and China. Of course. The world's run. But you don't turn around, you know, you just hit a jumbo check and all of a sudden, whoop, you make a 180-degree turn. It's impossible. It's disaster. Don't do that. Absolutely not. And I don't care. Yeah, I know there are certain other programs that they talk about all over, and they give you these, I don't know, in my opinion, absolutely ridiculous. And you could ask the Bushel Weiss. The Bushel Weiss asked me, and Moshe Shapiro, both asked me the following question. When I showed them my system, they asked me, how about this Lakewood program? They both asked me the same question. I also saw this Lakewood program. They call it the Lakewood program. I don't know, whatever. The only thing I can tell you is this. A guy came over to me and told me that he doesn't know Ashrei Baal Peh. It drives me nuts. You know, Ashrei, the first Ashrei we say when we're walking in and we're half asleep, right? So we have to know Baal Peh because we can, our eyes are even open to read it from the Siddur. And the second Ashrei, we're really reading the bulletin board. So we have to know Ashrei Baal Peh because, you know, it won't work. So he said, he told me he doesn't know Ashrei Baal Peh. It just doesn't. Everybody knows Ashrei Baal Peh. So I told him, oh, you know about the Lakeford program? Okay, I got a great thing. You want to know Ashrei Baal Peh? Listen, day one, read the first pasuk. Day two, read the first, fourth, and seventh. And do you actually believe that anybody will know Ashrei Baal Peh that way? So in Ashrei, you could understand that it won't work. It won't work in anything. Because that system works with backwards. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Go forward. I don't know. It's a total mistake. And not only that, and or everything. By the way, both, Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, you understand two names, you could ask that. I understand when Rosh Hashanah comes here, you could say, well, Moshe talk with that, he knows me very well. Yeah, you'll say my name, he knows, he heard of me. And you tell him that, well, ask him what he thinks about it, and you'll hear it's wrong. Now, Zalman Nachemi Goldberg told me, as a mushal of Adavadoyme, he says, a guy comes over to a kablan, to an architect, you know, he wants to build a house. I guess the story, you know, it's not today, right? But once upon a time, they built houses, you know. Now let's build a house. You know, you can go to any architect and tell him whatever you want. I want 5 bathrooms and 7 bedrooms. This guy wants 7 bathrooms and 3 bedrooms. I can do whatever you want. Okay, fine. You got the technique. You got the program. And then they start building it. Can you imagine what would happen if in the middle, this is Rav Zalman Nachemi's Moshe, and he told me. He says, can you imagine what would happen if in the middle of the building of that new house, you know, do you ever see a house in the middle of construction? In like a third in construction, you try to figure out, one second, where is the living room being? Well, it doesn't shtim with the plans. It looks so different. And then all of a sudden, like in the end, here it is. But it looks very, very different. I lived in my house when we lived, so they were planning the whole sidewalks and the whole, you know, garden, right? And I remember that this one was on the thing told me, and I also, where was the sidewalk? What? I thought these guys don't know what they're doing. And then it all worked out. Imagine if in the middle of building a building, a guy's going to come and say, I just think that this beam over here really doesn't belong here. We have to put it over here. I don't know. I just think this goes there, and this brick is, you know what's going to happen? It's going to fall down. You made a plan to stick to it. In the middle, it always looks different. It always looks different. It's maybe more than you expected. It's maybe less than you expected. It's probably different than you expected. But it's natural. Stick to the plan. Stick to the plan. Just make sure you have a good plan and go forward. So that's the way to get to 90 dafim in a day. That's the way it's done. And it can be done 1 year from today. It's not that difficult. You just have to be consecutive. You know, Babe Ruth hit 714 home runs. Even then, before... The Schwarzer will beat him. I'm a Babe Ruth, you know, handle. And I don't forgive. Never forgive that. And they always say, by the way, that Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. By the way, I know every single baseball statistic from up to 1980. Seriously, every single one. You can't beat me. I can tell you how many home runs every single guy hit every single year since baseball started. Well, since 1906. Okay? Since I know nothing. And because of that, you can know Shas in the meantime. So one of the two don't work together. Okay, and I was a baseball freak, like every little kid, every American boy. But they say Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak. This is not for Israelis to hear, but I'm going to say now. The 56-game hitting streak was considered a much harder record to break than Babe Ruth's 714 home runs. You know why? Because everybody could have a godless there, a godless there, maybe even scatter through. But consecutive. I can't even see. 56 is Pete Rose got hit. How many?
44.
To hit 56 is probably nobody will ever do. It's the hardest thing. Got to be consistent. Even a little less. Not have any home runs. Even a hit. One hit every day. Just be consistent. Stay with it. Just stick with it. It happens. The consistency is what makes a person great. That's what it's about. Consistency. Keep a schedule. Plan it out. Make it realistic. Don't say, oh, I could do 100 dafim. You can't. You could do 5. Work on 3, work on 2, work on 1. It will happen. It will only, the difference between one, a person who says, well, I can only do one daf, and a person who says, I can do 10, you know what the difference is? Sach HaKol, 1 year. Why? Because the 10 will turn into 90, which means the 1 will turn into 10. Am I correct? Does anybody know? This is a university here, right? Am I right in math? The difference between the guy who did the one daf, and that's all his mind could hold, and the person who did 10, we seem to think that this guy is 10 times bigger. He's not. He's only 1 year smarter. Because the 10 daf will turn into 100. Is that correct? I proved that. And the 1 daf will turn into 10. Everything will multiply by 10. So it's year 2, he'll make the 10 into 100. Right? There's a blackboard here. Am I right? It's very simple. So don't think, this is not for me. Yeah, you know, he's fun. You know, he catches jokes. I enjoy the speech, but it's not for me. It is for you. It is. You can only do one daf. That's all you can do. Wonderful. You know what? You every time you can do 10 lines, and before that, you know, you lose. You know, you even use an English article, and then you know, cash in the terrace, and after that, you're wiped out. You know, you can't follow. And I'm talking to you also. It will take you 2 years, not 1,000 years. Instead of one, it'll take you 2. That's it. But you'll get there. But consistency. You gotta stick to it. You gotta stick to it. And when people start telling you, no, that's not the way to do it, and not this and that. And then also you change your plans, that's when you're going backwards. If we go backwards, doomed to failure. It won't work. So anybody who's willing to give up my bet on those conditions, I'll match it right now. Anybody who will do it will be able to know 90 dafim, a whole mesechta, in 1 day, if he just sticks to what I said, if he starts with 10. And if he starts with 1, within 2 years. That's regarding that. Now I'm way past my hour. I told the Rosh Hashiva right before I left. I usually stop speaking when I see the first person yawning. I don't have binoculars. I can't see that far, but I didn't see anybody yet. So if somebody does, let me close his mouth so I won't see it. Because that's when I usually stop talking. So let's talk about the third thing, and it's Derech HaLimud. Usually I don't talk about this thing, but Derech HaLimud. We'll talk it very shortly. I'd much rather talk about the fourth time. This is Derech HaLimud, many Sfarim were written on it. And read any letters from any Gedolei Torah, anybody. And I mean Gedolei Torah. I don't mean there's a new thing today. I don't know what they are exactly. Today you could, you know, I don't know. I'd rather not even say. Gedolei Torah. Who are considered Gedolei Torah even 10 years after their death. Certain people are Gedolei Torah because, you know, listen, I grew up in Chile. And in Chile, you know, over there, I knew how to read Hebrew. So I was considered Gedolei Torah in Chile. Oh, did they hold up me, the Rav, huh? And then one time, you know, the guy, and I passed him the Shaila over there, and, you know, some guy from Eretz Yisrael video came to Chile to collect money. And he said, really? He said that on cookies, you make a boy piadome? And yeah, the love. And you know, this guy from Eretz Yisrael, as much as he was trying to explain to these Chileans, you know, Amaratsim, that their love is not from the big gedolim of, you know, Eretz Yisrael, he was talking to the wall. Right? So I'm not talking about those type of gedolim. I'm talking about the real ones. And even 10 years after they passed away, they still live with us forever. Okay? Read any one of the letters, anybody. I, by chance, on Shabbos, for the first time in my life, I was in Chaim Bolin, I was davening in, when I'm in Flatbush, and I meet him, or I'm in Lakewood for Shabbos, or in Flatbush. And when I'm in Flatbush, I was going to the yeshiva, I learned Chaim Bolin, to see my old yeshiva, Baruch Shechter, say Shalom Aleichem to him, and so. And I noticed on the thing of, you know, which sfom and which shelf every sefer is, and I see Sefer Zikaron Agram Feinstein. I never saw Sefer Zikaron Agram Feinstein, I never saw it. So I was very curious to see, shelf number, I think 833 in the Chaim Bolin library. So I'm serious, I'll be waiting to you. I did start right after Kedusha. I couldn't have Musaf. I had to see it. I was just very curious. I never saw it. And I sit every day in a library that has over 20,000 Sfarim. That's why I sit and do my things. And they don't have it. I never saw it. They have all the Sefer Zichronis there and they don't have it. So I was very curious to see what it is. It's something that came up from Staten Island. So, and there's a 15-page tshuva in there from the Dor al Hador, the Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzaddik Lekodesh Levracha. 15-page tshuva of a Talmud Torah. And I'm so happy with that. The Moshe says the following. There is absolute chiyuv min hadin to know Kol HaTorah Kula. chiyuv min ha-din. He writes, the doyer shel Chizkiyo ha-melech, they were mekayim the din. Other doyers, they were not. Ah, then he goes in a whole chayim, it's 15 page tshuva. But he tells, min ha-din there's a chiyuv. People come over to me and tell me, where does it say there's a chiyuv to know Shas? Tell me which sleep of Mishnah Berurah. I have these like stupid questions. I have many times people ask me, where does it say there's no Shas? I tell you that's what, what does it say? I don't know. The whole world was weird. They want Gittin. You know, learn Gittin. They want Gittin. Says I told you both. Leib Bora. I told you both. Breeze. Torahs. I told you both. Breeze. And Marisa. Ella. I told you about Pe. The world. The first Rashi in Chumash says that the world was created for the Torah and for Yisrael. And the whole Breeze of Torah Yisrael was on Torah Shabbat Pe. You know why? This Torah Shabbat was written in Shivim Loshon that the whole nations have. Which, by the way, one time I'll come here if I'll be in the Sefer Tevis. Nothing to do with this. Do you know that they translate the Torah, the Torah Shabbat in 70 languages? Yes. Do you know that the Tevis, it's only 3 days of Avedis. We say in Slichas. And one of them is on Ches Nissen. What happened in Ches Tevis, I'm sorry, was that they made the Targum of Mor Megillah, that they made that they forced Talmei HaMelech, forced the Chachomim, to translate the Torah to Yevonis. It's a Pele. It's a Mefusha Rashi, in fact, he saw that the Torah was translated in Shivim Loshon, and one of them is Yevonis. So what got on? What happened? You know, the government decided that they're going to force us to make Talmud Bavli in English. But there is an article in English already. Not Kara. It's a pet lawsuit. Nothing to do with Shmuz. I have a whole Mahalach on there, but it's a different time. Stam, it's a side talk. But there's a Chiyuv to Nechola Torah Kula, and that means Torah Shabbat Peh. That's what the world was created for. The world was created for Talmud Bavli, for Shas, for Torah Shabbat Peh. It's absolutely Chiyuv. What does it say? Well, now I finally know the answer. It says in their Tshuva, which in Sefer Zekorah, the ground finding, Port of Staten Island, 15 pages, and if there it goes over and over and over again, there's a chiv to Nechola Torah Kula. There's a chiv to Nechola Torah Kula. Well, now you have your chance. This is the way you're going to know Mesechta, and another Mesechta, and another Mesechta. Now let's talk about the fourth thing. We'll skip the first. Let's talk about the fourth thing. How do you retain? How do you recall it? Okay, so I learned Gittin. Very nice. I didn't even get the 90 daf in one day. But you know what happens? Next year, I learned Bo Mitzia, and my Gittin starts to forget. I forget. So what do? Okay, so now we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to very simple practical lessons how it's done. You got to write a sikkum. You got to write a summary of what you learned. We don't know how to write a summary. I'm going to show you how to write a summary. The best thing is always to write a question and answer form. Because milsa de tmiya mitkiri yishi. Something which is shver, something which is difficult, something which is, so people remember. When you walk down the street and you see a regular thing, it doesn't catch your attention. But if all of a sudden you're walking down the street and you see, you know, something strange, you'll remember it for many, many years. So a question is milsa de tmiya, it asks you something. It taunts you. You have to also give a response. The best thing is to write questions and answers. Write yourself a test. Now, also the question is actually will define the limits of what I'm going to write in the answer. It will, because what do I bring and what I don't bring? So a definition is, when I want to define the word book, so I'm going to use a definition that will, that everything which is a book is included in the definition, and everything which is not a book will be excluded from the definition. As kids, we used to play when we go summer, you know, to the camping grounds. My father was a brilliant person. And when I'm on the campfire, we used to play this game called definitions. And somebody would have to say, okay, definition of a book. So, your turn. Define book. So you have to think about it. And your job is to slug them up. Which means your job is to prove one of two things. Is there a book which is not included in your definition, or is there something which is not a book which would be within your definition? Well, you have to change a word, you have to change a letter, so you get, and then it's your turn. And we see who could get the definition with less kashas on them. Well, it's a tremendous mental exercise if you think about it. And it learns to become exact. Questions, make questions. And in the answers, we'll talk about it in 1 second, we'll talk about one more thing about the question. A question has to be clear to any person, intelligent person, that will understand what your question is, even if he never learned the topic. For an example, if you had a question like this, what was the hava mina of rove in the Lishna Kame of the Mishnah? You know something? Do you ever hear of a person named Chaim Kanevsky? Familiar? I mean, he knows Shas. I mean, he knows about that. But I don't think he'll be able to answer that question. You know why? Because it's not a question. It's a mumble. What is it? That's not a question. A question has to be clear. What are you asking? And I went to eighth grade teachers. I went to an eighth grade teacher, and I saw his test that he wrote. And he had questions like that. He asked his eighth graders, you know, what was the Lishna Kama's Havah Mina in the rice? I went over to him and I told him, I just want to ask you one simple question. Tell me something. Would you be able to answer that question in 3 months from now? He said, no, obviously not, but the kids learned it just now. I said, listen, Rebbe, I just want to say one thing. I want my kids, when they're 12 years old, I want them just to be smart as much as you will be in 3 months from now. I don't want them to be as smart as you are now. I want my 12-year-old child to be smart, whatever you will be in 3 months from now. And you yourself think in 3 months from now, you won't know what you're talking about. So what are you expecting from these? What is it, quizzes? That's what they write. You ever see a stupid test that to make you fail? Because they have a problem. Now, they don't want everybody to succeed. I don't know what this Ein Hore. I'm not allowed to say what Rav Osher Weiss himself told me, but he expressed his opinion very strongly to me, and I don't have a choice to say over, but very stark how teachers, they go out of there, they spend hours, they lose sleep over it to make sure that half the students will fail the test. Why? So they ask these riddles, these quizzes, that proves what? Ask questions to the point. To the point. You don't know if the question's to the point? So go over to somebody and tell them, did you ever learn Masechet Zevachim? Did you? No. Wonderful. I want to ask you 3 questions. So I'll ask you the 3 questions. So I'll ask you, what is the din if a person shechs a korban shlomim shaloi lishmo? So now this time you never heard of korban shlomim. Okay, that's normal. So I'll have to tell you, it's a concept. So now I tell him what it means. He doesn't know what shaloi lishmo means. So I explain to him. But now, that's just because the concept is unfamiliar. But once you know what the concepts are, is that question clear or not? What's the din if you shechs a korban shlomim shaloi lishmo? Wonderful. You know what I do? I use my wife many times. I would go and ask her a question. And I would say, now, obviously she'll tell me she doesn't know the answer. Of course not. She didn't learn. But there was a question clear that a person didn't understand what you're talking about. Remember, when you write a summary of everything, you have to remember one thing, a major principle. And I'm going to say it twice. That's when you'll hear it and hear it again. Every time you write a summary, you must write it when you're 100% in the sugya, and it's intended to somebody who is not at all holding the sugya. Say it again. I'm going to sound like Joe Biden now. You know, everything says twice. But because of that, you've got to write a summary when you're holding 100% in the sugya. There's somebody who's not holding it all. And you know why? Because it's you in a year from now, or in 2 years from now, that you will not be holding it all in the sugya. And if you want to be able to use your sikumi that you're going to spend now a lot of time in it, you're going to have to make sure that you don't understand what you're talking about. I'm going to meet a name, but I met on Shabbos. I was a guest by a good friend of mine, and he's a big, tremendous Mechavis Mecha Homim, this person, this host, and he had like 4 sheshivas in his house. And one of them I happen to know. Why? We never met. We only spoke on the phone. One day I get a phone call from a choshev rosh yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he tells me the family. He says, "Rachman had something sick with cancer, Rachman had some," and he decided in order for at Sfuyas from himself, he wants to put out a sefer. So he wants to take his phone, his shiurim and meseches eruvin, and he wants to put it out. But the problem is to print it. More schus to be able for shleim. It was back around 8 years ago. And he looked at his Sovereign and Maseches Eruvin, and he has no idea what he's talking about. He doesn't even know what he himself was talking about. He asked me for pay. I mean, his son knew of me, so that's how. I used to do these type of things for people in the olden days. Now I don't do it anymore. But I used to do it. He wants me to rewrite for him. I have to go and figure out what he meant and rewrite in a way that somebody else will figure out, understand what he wants. I'm asking a very simple question. Have I been clear? What happened was this Shabbos, he was one of the yeshivas by this host. And I said, Shalom Aleichem, my name is Moshe Tachman. Ah, I know what the ah means. The ah means he thought I have a long white beard. He's only spoke on the phone, right? He was like, you know, for a surprise, right? Okay, no problem. But that's what the ah was. I'm used to it already. Ah, okay. Because of the nigun, you know. But actually, yeah, I just want to understand one thing. I told him, I wasn't sure, you know, certain people and all, they forgot. Yeah, the Erovin thing. Okay, I just want to make sure that. I don't get it. How can it be that somebody writes over Shiurim and just has no idea what he's. He had no idea. The reason I'm not saying his name was is because I don't think the Shiurim was too good. And that's why after I did a third of the thing, I did it back. I don't think it was too good. That's why I understood what he wanted. If I understood what he wanted, then it went too good. So that's why I did it back. Maybe I didn't understand. No, no. But how can it be such a thing? You're writing saying, I know, you gave Shiurim, that means you spent hours. Obviously, I didn't tell the Mishpoch. I told his son, he's a good friend of mine. I told his son, your father's Shiurim are so deep, I just made it up and flared it up so there won't be no feelings hurt. But I don't get it. That means he spent hours. They told me they see every Shiurim he spent days. He's invested so much time, so much energy in getting your Shiurim, and you write it in a way that you have no idea what you're talking about afterwards. He had no idea. I also don't know what he's doing. There's a side each. I don't get it. That's awful. That's terrible. You have to write things which are clear. And if you don't know if they're clear, go over to somebody and ask them, is this question clear? Don't expect him to give you the answer. He didn't learn it, but is the question clear? That way, when a few years from now, when you look at it, the question will come to your face. And you know what a zevach, you know what a shlomim, you don't know what a shmoy is, right? The concepts you know. Do you have a question? What's the end of a shlomim, shenishcha shalei l'shmoy? I don't remember. I don't know. Okay, that's what the answer is there for. But the question is clear. Write clear questions. That's number one. Now the answer. Now, there has to be in every sikkum the following three things have to appear in every single summary. You have to have every single din, every single svore, and every single machloikas. Din, svore, machloikas. Bigamatria, well, we'll make one up. Din, svore, machloikas. That's the three things. Every din, svore. That means that usually, 99% of the time, the last word in every single question will be umadua, or why. What's the din da 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 da, and why? Because there will be the svore. Who says the svore? Well, sometimes the Gemara, sometimes Rashi. Right? That has to be included. Every din, every svore, and every machlekes must be written. Now, machlekes means sometimes it's machlekes, how to learn up a pasuk. There's no new din comes out of it, no new svore, just a new machlekes. Din, Svara, machlekes must appear in your sikkum. Next point is, you have to write short paragraphs. You have to write short paragraphs. Don't write long paragraphs. A pirager or not. Don't. A pirager told the sons, write in a way that it's very appealing. People write long. Listen, so bad. Even I have a cloud that I never. I should say never. Sometimes it's impossible, but. There's a plow that I don't make any paragraph more than 8 lines. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. Now, sometimes there's no choice. You know, it breaks it. You don't have a place to break. But if you could break into 2/4, make short paragraphs. When you write your summaries, don't make them more than 3 lines. Make it as short as possible. And indent. Make it... Bill Gates became a multi-billionaire because he stole my second grade teacher's idea. Now, I'm very serious. Her name, I don't remember. I don't remember. You know what Windows is all based upon? You know what the bitchap of Windows is? Bitchap of Windows, it's actually like a tape, right? So just like you have a table, one safe, on top another, on top another, on top another safe, that's the whole idea of Windows. But Windows is another hop. Windows is like this. You have a folder and then a subfolder and another sub-subfolder. And they indent inside. Is that the proper word? Indenting? Right? It goes in. I'm telling you, but I'm not a comedian. I'm telling you honestly. Then my second grade teacher taught us to do that on the bulletin board. I'm serious. The way you graph it is you make a plow and a sub-plow and a sub-sub-plow and it goes in. So you're able to see, when you want to see like that, what's the five major points? You see alphabet symbol A, B, C, D, E, F, you see it one down the other. Everything which is a sub goes inside, so it doesn't bother your eye. You see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 as one unit. And then when you want to see the A, it has two parts to it, so you have a 1, da da da, and then you have a 2, da da da. So the 1 and 2 are under. That's how Bill Gates made his $60 billion. That was his big hop. That's simple second grade teaching. He just put it into business, into a very simple program. That's the way you should write your sikkum. It should be written in a out in a form that, and that's it. A certain din. So you have Abaye and Rove and Rav Popa. I'm just making up names. So you write, Le Rove, and then you da 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 da, and then you have to continue the next line. Don't put the next word under the word Rove. Push it in around a centimeter and a half, or whatever it's called. Put it in. You follow what I'm trying to say? It's simple. I mean, I hope, I don't think you're second graders, but you know, that's simple things. Why? Because then when you're going to get to La Abaye, Abaye is going to sit right on the Rove. And then it's a two-line answer what Abaye has to say. So the second line of Abaye should come in a bit. This is when you'll see the following. You'll have the questions. They get, you know, let's say the paper is like from 1 to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, like points. So the questions will start on point 1. So you'll see the questions. Now, then the answers start from point 2. And the continuation of the answer starts from point 3. And that's the way they go in. So this one, you see it. Now, this is very simple. Because when you're going to chazer it, after you chazer your page 5, 10 times, you know what's going to happen? You won't have to read every word on your page. There's no need for it. What's going to happen is it depends how well you recall it. It might be enough just to read the question, and all of a sudden, okay. It might be, you need one more thing. You might just have to say, I remember. Rovan Avani Ravashi. Okay, I got that. Yeah. I remember. Maybe that's all you'll need. That means you'll be able now, that's the way you're going to get the system done. You'll be able to chazer hundreds of dafim in a day with these papers. Because if you write it properly, in a very orderly manner, very misudar, you won't have to be reading every single word. These, they're like, are you cue cards? Right? Did you put them over here? And then, oh, yeah. Okay, I'm on the next thing. And if you write in the way like that, but you have to be a chochum gadol to know, like, it's just experience to put it in, but you always say, one word sometimes makes you recall. Now, if the questions, I always recommend, you should put even a different color ink. You know why? Because if you think right now, for an example, Meseches Gittin. So because I chazed my sikkumim and Meseches Gittin many, many times, so I can right now close my eyes and I pochot yotef to make myself a picture of the way it looks. I do not have a photographic memory. Photographic memory means somebody can take a thing in Chinese. Well, it's photograph. And he doesn't know Chinese. And now he goes to a course in Chinese, and a year later he says, okay, now I can make a recall of what he saw. That's a photographic memory. No, I do not have that. Okay? If I would, I would work for the Barnum and Bailey Circus. I would make tricks. I don't have that. What I'm talking about is something that everybody should have. It's a very simple thing. When you see something, so after a few times you see it, it creates a picture in your mind. And that picture remains. When they say that a picture is worth 1,000 words, absolutely true. We try to make pictures. You're not going to remember last week's newspapers articles. You're not going to remember them. You are going to remember the pictures. Pictures on our head, we remember much more. We try to write our summary in a way that's going to turn into a photograph. Not because we have photographic memories. No, we're going to create pictures. I'm sure if you take a look at your albums, your photo albums, you guys are young, but you know, when you get to my age and you look back at the pictures from 25 years ago, you remember like it happened yesterday. Why? Because that's the way our minds work. Our minds work with pictures. Not with words. Words you won't remember. Pictures you will. So your summary has to be written in a way that will create pictures. And the way it's done, obviously, it needs training. But the way it's done is partly what I'm talking about now. Write it in an outline form. You know what I mean? In an indented. This way you see, there's really 5 points in the daf. How do I see that? Because there's 5 questions. Which means you're going to be putting an empty line between the end of the last answer to the next question. Such a simple thing. I've seen people written things. And they have no place to stop. You know, even when you're driving the New Jersey Turnpike, every 22 miles you have a rest stop. You got to give your brain a certain point to stop. Have an empty line. What a kamsan. What, you can't have one empty line? But it does so much. You know what it does? And I always write the questions in two different colors. I write the question in red ink, and the answer's in black or blue ink. You know why? Because after the fifth time reading my sikkum, all I do is I just have to read the questions. Yeah. You know what happens then? You do that and you write it properly. After 10 times you read it, you get chaza, I'm telling you, the li guzme. You get chaza a daf in 2 minutes. You can be doing 30 dafin in an hour. You can be going through shas once every 3 months. But you just do it right. And I'm talking about 100 times chazor. I'm talking about you do it right and you just chaza the proper way. Again, also here you got to have a chaza forward. Always forward. That's, I'm sure you all remember. I'm against the backwards. You remember that? Let's not go backwards, let's go forward. And we're not talking about it again. But back to the sikkum in the summaries, it's got to be clear. Now, the answers have to be very clear. And any person who's planning to write his sikkum, his tamtzit, his summary, when he's not holding 100% in the sugya, do yourself a favor. Don't write it then, because you're going to mess it up. You're going to mess it up. It has to be written at the moment that you personally believe that it's ready for print. Now, I will let you know that in case you... I used to say, but I can't do it anymore. I mean, I used to speak in front of places. I used to say, anybody will send me an email with his sikkum, I will respond back. I used to say that, and I used to do that. I became very busy lately, and I can't keep that. I can't offer that offer. I'm sorry. I wish I could, because when people send me the sikkumim, I always send them back, and I'm telling you right now, nobody has ever in history, and I've sat with a lot of people, I've sat with people older than me, awesome, and more even famous than me, and they gave me things, oh, you heard about your whole system, and about this, so they gave me a page, and this, and I have this hobby. I like to take a red pen, they usually bring me black ink, so I take my red pen, yes, because, whatever, and I would show them how every single word that they wrote is wrong. And you probably wondered, how does that happen? Well, it does, because many times what people do is the following. Or they write a sentence in too many words. Or they put one sentence and they repeat it twice, which is a bit so clean, why you have to read it twice. And they say, yeah, because I really wasn't sure if to put it here or to put it there. So I put it both. Well, that itself shows one thing. You know why the person's not sure? I'll tell you why. Because you weren't holding the sugya 100%. That's why. When you have to start writing the sikkum, you know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. You have a toisus. Toisus is a kasha. Here's a teretz. Then there's a kasha and a teretz. Then volume of reading. Okay. So till now, you'll be able to read Zoe Marie and see what the reset says. But now you have to write a sikkum. So what do I do? Do I write the following? Toises hitsu, da 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 da. The teretsu, one. Toises teretsu, this. The re teres azoi. Is that an answer to that first tasha? Or is the re relating something else to Gamin? Or is the re talking about the tri on the first teretsu? Well, you know, it's easier to say the whole thing than to write a proper sikkum and figure out is it one and two, or is it only one with two paragraphs? And that's why people... That's what happens. And Akhe Dekach, I always know. I get these papers, I tell them, tell me, you didn't understand what Rabbeinu Tam was saying. So, yeah, how do you know that? I see. It's like a palmy. It's so easy. I'm telling you, it's so easy. I could prove it to you 100 out of 100 times. It's so easy to do. You could see when a person doesn't know because you see it's not written well. It's not written in the right place. Things are mixed up. That's the way it is. I once suggested that, let's say I would walk in here and you have, 50 people in the room. I have no idea who the bigger Lamdonim are, who the lesser Lamdonim are, who the more capable. I have no idea. I don't know anybody here except for him I met last night for the first time, and him I met today for the first time, and except for that, I don't know anybody here more than 24 hours. So I have no idea what people's level and learning is. But I'm willing to do the following thing, and I will give you one taste of this. Get into the Beis Hamed Aleph. I think there's a huge tasis over there, right? They don't protect it in the Beis Hamed Aleph. Just write me a sikkum on it. The further way you write your sikkum, I will know your exact level of learning. It's like a blood test. It works. Because I will see how much did you mix up, what did you put before, how many words. You see it very clearly. And that's because how much did you really understand the tasis? Write the sikkum when you're holding in the suya 100%. To a person who's not holding at all in the sugya. And if you want to test it, test on the people. That's where it's done. Din tzvore, machloikas. You got to write a sikkum on every daf. Make it nice, nice handwriting. You don't have a nice handwriting? Buy yourself a Dell laptop for $329. Probably less, I don't know. It costs nothing. Just buy yourself a computer and you don't know how to type. I'll tell you something. The fastest typist in the world types 53,000 characters an hour. Seriously, that's according to the World War Minute. I was told that person who typed 50, I don't know if it's a man or woman, that person was born, does 53,000 characters in an hour. I was told that the day they were born, that person did not know how to type at all. Kachshamati. I was born, when you don't know how to type? Nobody knows how to type, so what? You know, a baby knows. You teach yourself how to type, what do you mean? Well, so how did you learn? What do you, on day one, you want to be the best typist in the world. You want to sit there in the courthouse, you know, and they do like this, you know. It doesn't happen. It happens after a year, right? And you'll get used to it. So type it. Put it out. It's better to type it, because then if you make mistakes and you want to fix it up, you can do it, and you don't have to rewrite the whole thing. Show it to somebody. Go over and say, oh, you also work on the Tintin Duff Bay? It's wonderful. What do you say about my sequel? And they'll say, well, there's, I don't know. He might have points as he learned it, that he didn't have. He didn't notice this point. Match your sikkum with another person. It's a chavrusa sikkum. Or, after you think you got it perfect, say it over to somebody. Did you ever learn getting Ayin Gimel? No, wonderful. You want to hear a nice story? I went over, I used to catch pitches from Kiryat Sefer to Yerushalayim. I was a student in Yerushalayim, and I used to stand in, I used to stand by this bus stop, and people in Kiryat Sefer, they would just, because it's the Kiryat Sefer bus stop, they would just stop people there and take them. And I would ask the Bala bus who's sitting next to me, you want to hear Divrei Torah? Yeah? Why not? I would tell them over, Tzoris, Anasivis, three Dafim and Zvochim, whatever it is. Did he ever learn Zvochim? No. I asked him, what does he do for a living? He's a plumber. No, not the plumber, he's not as a known Tzoisim, but he's a plumber. Or he's a telephone technician. He never learns Zvochim. If you can't tell him over a Daf Gemara in a way that he'll understand it, you don't know it well enough. My next door neighbor from Kiryat Sefer to Yerushalayim took me for 2 years every morning. And the first day he took me, did me a favor, didn't take no charge. I asked him, you want to learn on the way? It's a half hour ride. You want to learn on the way? He said, So I told him, you know what? Let's try 5 minutes. If you'll enjoy it, fine. If you won't enjoy it, not mention that anymore. Well, that's a 2 years, let's say then. You know why? Because if you go over and tell a person and you say, a guy's driving, can you just imagine you're reading over there and you're learning Gemara? Yeah. Pachia Leman Yovule Beya. What was it? He's not interested in hearing you. But if you're going to make it exciting, listen. There's a din called. I don't know. A guy brought me the get. He brings it from Chutzlaretz, and he brings a get from Chutzlaretz. You know, it's a big problem. You know, Chutzlaretz in those days were. It's like, you know, a 2 week journey, and he brings a get, right? And you know what happens? So the wife finally gets to get you to get a divorce. But, you know, I once heard a story. I don't know. It might happen. That after he gave her the get, she remarried. And you know what happened? So I was sending this technician, this plumber. Joe the plumber. I was telling him, you know what happened? It's unbelievable. After she got the get, the husband came in and said it was. He never wrote it. He never wrote it. It's forged. Wow, really? What happened? I don't know. I was telling him over the mission like a storybook. Tell him over the Gemara, say it in a way it's so clear. Make it fun. Make it exciting. You can't do that? So practice. It's because you don't know it well enough. Say it. Write it down in a way that it's exciting. It makes it fun. You look at the page and you want to read it over again. Go over and tell it to somebody. See if he's yawning his heart out or if he's excited and wants to hear about it. Tell him. It has to be written in a good manner, and you can test it out yourself. Din svora machlokes. Every din svora machlokes has to be written in a sikkum. Write it in a questions and answers form. Get one page in. Write it down. Then get another one in. And then you have to start chazing these things. You know when you chazer these sikkum in? I'll tell you. You write in a notebook paper. See, you know, to sell, they give us notebook paper half the size, which I personally like better. Right? Like this type of size, you know, a bit bigger. And I would take my sikkum and I was going to write in here. Now,
What happens?
I go to the subway, and I have this thing. Every time I get to the subway, I always miss it. It's unbelievable. Now, you should always get to the subway a minute before me. Then you'll always catch it. I'm always missing it. But I love missing it. I'm honest with you. I really love missing the subway. Because as soon as I miss the subway, I don't stare at the, you know, McDonald's to make another, you know, all these stupid advertisements. I pull out the seat for me from my pocket, and I start causing what I wrote. That's not time. That's not going to take away your time from anything you're doing otherwise. You don't plan to do anything then. You know how many minutes a day goes by that you're doing nothing? Like when the Shushiva downs the lunch Monesse and we're all waiting for him and all finished already. So we get tough as all the shots. So what do people do? And they start, you know, so I just pull out my sikumim and I let him down whatever lunch Monesse he wants. Pull out your papers from your pocket. Put in your pocket right here. You know how many times? Once you read a good sikum, you'll be able to review it in 5 minutes, right? 10 minutes. Wait, every day, 30 minutes. But they're scattered around, goes through the day. In Eretz Yisrael, we all walk to Koyla, right? We don't have cars. Who wants a car? I don't have a car. Who needs a car? By the time I get into the car and find a parking space, I could get there. It's all small. But it's 10 minutes a day times 4. From here to the Koyla, back home, back in the afternoon, back home. It's 40 minutes a day. What are people doing those 40 minutes? Nothing. You know what you could do? You could be causing shots once a year while you're walking down the street. Once a year from your summaries, and once a year. Because once you pass them about 5 to 8 times, you can knock it down 5 minutes flat to read your summary. Once you do that, 35, 5 times 7 is 35. Yeah, that's less than 40. So at 40 minutes a day, you can be passing 7 from a day. That's shots once a year while you're walking down the street. Whoa, then they're going to say, wow, you're a big Dilui, you're a big this, you're a big that. You're nothing. You're a bit something. Of it does it. But I mean, it's something that everybody can do. That's when you chazer sikumim. You don't take any time that anyways was scheduled for something else, just for those minutes that go down the drain. And you know when it's the most time? This is for the married guys, for the non-married shouldn't listen. When you tell the wife, listen, we're hurrying up, and she says, 1 minute, that's half an hour. What are you doing that time? You take out your summary. I want to tell you, but one more thing I have to tell you, right? Just there, Ohio, just sort of not a nice joke, just I have to say back. Well, just one thing. I'm here 26 years, and I don't own a car. I never own a car. I never said I don't need a car. I have a driver's license, and I'm 16 years old, but you don't need a car. So when I go out with my wife, so we go by bus, and I see 6 cents to me. I have never, except for one time, never learned anything when I'm sitting next to her. When I'm sitting next to my wife, I schmooze with her. But what? Anything on the song. Anything. But pretzels. Whatever you want. Not ruchnis, not marali. No, that's good, you know, before you get engaged, right? Start a normal conversation. This a small thing that people go and, you know, they learn, you know, you won't have no siyata d'shmaya. Be a mensch. Right? You see, when your wife, only one time, by the way, I ever learned on the bus when my wife was next to me, one time, I asked her shoes, one time, is when I switched in the Felashas from the Gemore to the Yoredeh program, I switched on a Chazorah month, which means actually the fourth month was a Chazorah in the previous 3 months. In 1 month, I had to do 3 months worth. And it was Yoredeh. And I had a big time problem with Yoredeh, it didn't, you know, whatever, it was hard for me, and whatever reason. And I had a test, and we had a wedding, so I asked her a shush. That was the only time. I was just saying, I said a prayer talk about women, so I put it back. You got to respect your wives there because of them. You know, that's what Chazal already said. You have to have a closer place. But I'm just saying, better thing. Those minutes are 4 through. That's the time you should be chazing your sikumim. You should be having those at least 10 dafim in your pocket. Okay? And just chaz them. When you finish the cycle around, do it again and again and again. Till you know what? If I had my 10 pages in front of me, and I'm waiting for the train, you know, it's like, you know, it's like when you buy a newspaper, you know, for Yom Tov, a massive thing, right? And in the third day of Chol HaMoed, you already say there's nothing to read. So, it's this thing. But you turn the page, this was from, I read that. The moment you see Kumim, you just, this I know, books, right? It will happen. Once you put in your body, it will happen. So put another 10 in there. Make those 10, and then put those 10 and 10 together, make them 20. Vechule. I don't have to continue, you understand what I'm going to drive it at. So you're actually going to be doing two things. In the Beis Medrash, you're going to be learning the Gemara's inside with the system, the 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. And in, on the subway platform, you'll be chazing those sikumim. Or in those minutes to go by. Or when you're waiting in the store to pay for your challahs on Erev Shabbos. What is the estimated time of arrival for the cashier to pay for the challahs on Erev Shabbos? Well, it depends. If you're bound for Sikkim, you'll get in and out pretty fast. But if you're down at 10 o'clock minion, you got to wait 10 minutes in line. What do you do to those? I'm serious. I'm not kidding. That's when I istachazam, I sikumim. Those are every day, minutes, four, between your fingers. Utilize that time to chazi sikumim. And if you do that, you'll notice. All of a sudden, you can put in your pocket 30, 40, 50, 60 thousand. You'll be chazing every single day on those minutes. 7, 10 dafim a day. You just keep on going. 10-year program. In 10 years, you're going to know Shas. You're going to be from the biggest Bikim and Shas in the world. In the world. In 10 years from today. It's all it is. I have 30 seconds to go for my hour. It's so simple. I go crazy. I was sitting two nights ago with my, Rebellador Vachtvogel, the Shulchan of South Falsburg. I'm extremely friendly with. I'm sure he doesn't mind if I would say he's a good friend of mine. If anybody knows him, he's very easygoing. I'm sure he would also say that. He would be willing, I would say that. But and I was just crying to him. I don't get it. It's so easy to make people know in Shas. It's so simple. Did I say anything that just seems so hard here? What am I asking for you guys to do? Take it off Gemara. And learn it, and then go to the next one. Figure out what your spunk cycle will be, when that we'll call it. Whatever it is, like we said, I can even say 10. Whatever it is, 5, 1, 2, 20, whatever it is. I would say probably most people are 10, unless, you're a real beginner. But most people are 10. Develop it. In 2 months from now, you'll see that the 10 becomes a singe. Then you go another 10. And then you'll see 10 and 10 becomes 20. I'll tell you just one thing. The moment you start doing it, the next stages get easier. You know why? Because the moment you realize that you did something that you never experienced before, you're willing, psychologically, to accept new ideas. Till now you say, nah, I'm a conservative. I don't want to hear anything new idea. No, I don't believe in this. The moment you tasted one time a success, you're full blast. You want to make more success. That's why they always say the first million is the hardest million to make. Seriously. Once you make your first million, you become a billionaire. If you're a little aggressive and smart and you have Sefer Yishmai. But no. I was going to say luck, but I didn't like that word. But that's serious. Everybody knows. All the millionaires say that the first million is the hardest to make. But after you realize that actually you could become really big, you think different. From a million, I'm thinking about a billion already. If I can make a million, why not a billion? What's the difference? Think different. I was once by... No. If you go into a car and it's five, a shift car, right? You gotta change the gears and you flood the accelerator, you'll never move more than 20 miles an hour. You gotta shift the gears. You gotta go into gear two, gear three, gear four. Change your gears. It's all this. And therefore, the moment you're on the seat, you can do 10 daffim in a day. And 10 and 10 turns into 20. From the edge, you're gonna move. You're gonna be flying. Because all of a sudden you realize, yeah. Where was this Trachtman guy before? Why didn't he tell me that 5 years ago? I don't want to tell you. It's going to be very bragging. But you know what I mean? There has been so many people who told me that, why didn't I meet you 10 years ago? And you know, a guy, a neighbor of mine, who today is one of my closest friends, after 8 years, one day I tell him this whole thing. And he tells me that now he understands. I lived in Emmanuel. It's a little hit down in Shomron. And my friend tells me, now I know finally why I live in Emmanuel. That's what he said. To meet you. Because he never knew why Kodesh Baruch Hu put him there. Well, I'm telling you, it's a simple thing. It's a very simple thing. I don't know why nobody's saying this. I don't know why you have to need me to say it. It's so simple. 10 and 10 makes 20. Once you feel that success, you're just going to move on going. Then, like the Sikkum, like I told you, put in your pocket. Use it, chaz it only in times that you wouldn't be doing anything else otherwise. And you'll see that if you write a proper Sikkum, you'll be able to be chazing an immense amount, every day, every month. And Be'ezrat Hashem Yisborach, just keep on going, be consistent, keep on going. And within a few years, you'll see You're way beyond everybody else. Way beyond everybody else. That's all it is. Without Hashem, I will. I used to, the people would send me, I would respond. I can't do that today, but one thing I will ask is if anybody has a slogan, anything I said, I don't take money for these schmoozing. I speak many, many places, free of charge, and even if they would pay me, I would say no, because that's what I do in Shem Shemaim, and that's what I try to do to be Mifitz Tayyim, Marbitz Tayyim, by myself. But the one thing I do ask is if anybody has any hatzlocha, a major hatzlocha, because of whatever things I said, send me an email and there will be my sachar. At least I know that Baruch Hashem, they will be Tamei Chacham with the next generation. Bezrat Hashem, every single one of you could become that massive Tamei Chacham. You can become a good of a Tayyar, you can become a Baki B'Shaz, you can become a Baki Shulchanov, 10 years in Shas, 10 years in Shulchanov, 20 years. You can become a 45-year-old person who knows Tayyar, you can become 50 years old, 60. You'll be 90 years old and you know, when this stupid old guy in the old age house, you know, who's still looking for his slippers, and it's all he has for in his life, you know, just even, and you'll, Bezrat Hashem, at 90 years old, you'll have Bavi, Yerushalmi, Rambam, Shulchanov, Safi, the Torah Tarakul in your hand. It could happen. It's simple. Just follow these things and be consistent. Bezrat Hashem Yisborach. Everyone of you will have a lot of sense of Shmaya, and you'll really see, you'll really get Tein Chalkeinu. You're part of Torah, you'll actually fulfill. Gracias.